Now, on with the show.
This is Mouse World Radio. Bringing the world to your world. This is Walt Disney World Today Live. Call 407-278-5WDW to get on the show. That's 407-278-5939. And now, your host, Matt Hochberg.
Thank you, Mr. Voice. And it is the welcome to the live show for July 2011. I am Matt Hochberg from StudioCentral.com. And today's live show of WDW Today is being sponsored by AllEars.net, celebrating 15 years online. AllEars.net is your one-stop shop for everything Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. AllEars has menus of all the restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to AllEars, a free weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 133,000 fans who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today. And it is, what's today? Sunday, July 31st, 2011. And it's the live show for July 2011 of WDW Today. I am Matt Hochberg of StudiosCentral.com. Joining me on today's show is Mike Scopa, a senior future writer and blogger for AllEars.net. Welcome, Mike.
I am at a loss to conceive what part of my conduct could have given encouragement to an idea which to me seems the greatest mischief that can befall our country.
Muppets.
I was going to say Body Wars.
Oh my God. You guys should have that.
Adventure?
It's got to be an American.
American adventure. All of Presidents.
All of Presidents.
Oh, okay.
All of Presidents. I got it.
Nice, Mike. Yeah. All of Muppets, yeah. All of the Muppets.
Keep yourself
also the same.
Also joining on today's show is Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome to the show, Mike.
I knew I'd have it.
And also joining on today's show is the fabulous Annette Owens, a manager of customer relations and cruise services for MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Welcome to the show, Annette.
Hey, I knew it was Sunday earlier today. So sorry, you just figured it out.
I wrote it down.
And you had to write it down. That's funny.
You know, I must be so nervous because we have our very special guest for this live show, and that's of course AJ from DisneyFoodBlog.com. Welcome to the show, AJ.
Thanks. I don't say anything clever, so you just get me.
Neither does Matt.
Oh.
Wow, Annette is rough tonight, Newell.
I'm not used to having, you know, female help on the show. I don't know. Yeah.
Lay off.
Hey. That's funny.
407-278-5939 is our phone number, and it's your opportunity to call in, and we'll be taking your phone calls. And, of course, join us on our website at live.wdfda.com. We've got the chat room going on, video. It's really exciting work. So far, so good. But let's start things off with David from Chicago. Hey, David.
Hi, Matt.
David.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, what's
happening?
You're on.
Hey, I just had a couple questions for you guys. We're actually going to be coming down to Florida three times this year.
Yay.
But our first trip is going to be in August, just a couple of weeks from now.
Uh-huh.
And we've been coming down in November and some of the core months of the year. So, like, how much can we expect to be different, like, in terms of weather and stuff?
Well, how warm was it today in Chicago?
95, probably.
Without humidity, but...
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, Scope, you want to take this one?
Yeah, I think what you got to do, David, is you got to think about the very important thing about making sure you're hydrated all the time. I just came back from about 6 days down there and went through 2 cases of water, just making sure that I was hydrated all day long to make sure that my body was cooling off all the time. I think you're going to find that, I mean, you'd be thirsty in November too, but it really sneaks up on you really fast during this time of the year. You may want to do whatever you can to stay out of the sun because it can drain your energy. As if there's so many things. You need to treat every day very special. You have to prepare yourself every day and all day long. Just watch yourself. If you're prone to sunburn, you have to worry about the sun's, you know, sunscreen and things like that. So, you know, those three things. But mostly you need to make sure that you're hydrated all the time.
All right. All right. And then I just had a question for Mr. Newell.
Si, senor.
Hey, Flower.
Okay, so, like, what? I'm watching your guys' stream on Justin.TV. How are you guys, like, doing that? Like, what program are you guys using for that?
I think it's called Scotch Tape and Elmer's Glue. Matt, what are we using for the video now?
We're using this program called Wirecast, and if you're watching the stream, David's alluding to it, it's at live.wdwtoday.com, and we're doing this new, we've always had video, but they've been just like webcams, basically. Now we're actually using video, and we've got graphics and everything like that, and so we're excited because I think it's a really cool element, and it's called Wirecast is the program we're using, David. It costs a couple hundred dollars, actually.
But we're loaded, so we could afford it. Sorry.
Is it showing up okay on your end, David?
Yeah, it works great.
Sweet. All right, David, thanks for calling. I appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, go easy on us. This is the first time we're actually trying this out, so go easy on us, chat room. That's you, chat room. I'm talking to you.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Cindy Carolette.
What's your name?
Cindy Carolette.
Hey, Cindy, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Nashville, Tennessee.
Cool. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I am a long-time listener. Well, okay, not really a long-time listener. Just recently found you guys, and I've been trying to catch up on some of the episodes. I've got a couple questions. The first one is I can only seem to get episodes back in the 500s to try to catch up. Is that because you guys don't like the ones before that, or where do I find those?
Yeah.
You know,
that's through iTunes?
I get this question a lot.
Yeah.
What's that, Mike?
That's through iTunes, right?
Yeah, the iTunes feed only contains, you know, however many episodes were, you know, back to episode whatever. To get any of the older episodes, you just have to go to wdwtoday.com, and then you can download the episodes manually and then import them into, if you're using iTunes or whatever, you know, program you're using. But you can go to the website, and every single episode, nearly every single, there's a couple that we've lost over the years, but you should be able to go to the website and be able to download any episode there. You can just stream it right there on the spot, like in your browser, or you can download it to your computer. And then you just have to manually import it into, you know, iTunes or whatever you're using.
Excellent. Thank you. And I had one more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
We are going to Disney World in September. Middle of September. So excited. And we typically go like May or September when it's fewer crowds because we like not having anybody in the parks. But it's also like much less time that the parks are open, and I know Lynn recommends taking the several hour break in the middle of the afternoon, but I'm one of those touring commando kind of people, so then I feel like I'm missing too much park time. So how do you guys recommend dealing with that when it's shorter park hours?
That's a great question. Do you have any kids, or are these just adults we're talking about?
Just adults.
That's even easier because with kids, you have to worry about, you know, they need breaks more so than adults. I mean, my strategy for trying to do the whole day and not having to take the afternoon break, especially because you brought up a great point about the afternoon hours, the park hours being shorter. In the afternoon, I like to take, you know, the air conditioning tour. It doesn't matter what time of the year it is. Like in the studios, to give you a good example of this, I'll do like, you know, if Sounds Dangerous is open, Sounds Dangerous, American Idol Experience, Muppet Vision. These are all attractions that require me to sit down for a fair amount of time and in air conditioning. So because the afternoon is the worst time in terms of heat in Florida, regardless of what time of the year, it's gonna be the hottest in the afternoon. So if you're smart, if you can get that time off to do that. Another option is you just, you know, maybe, you know, plan a sit down meal in the parks. If, you know, do like a late lunch, you know, something that kind of like gets you off your feet for a while and, you know, allows you to relax a little bit. Scopa, you can maybe have some other ideas on that.
I could, Matt, but I was paying so much attention to the chat room that I didn't hear what you were saying.
Well, going during, she wants to get, she's going during a slower time of the year, park hours or less, and you know, wants to stay in the park the whole day. So any strategies for, you know, not being wiped out by like 4 o'clock?
Yeah, Cindy, what you need to do is you need to, I think I heard you say this, Matt, that early on, what you want to do, Cindy, is you want to be aware that between the hours of 12 and 4 is the hottest time of the year in Florida, and that's when you really can find yourself getting baked. So I would say that what you want to do is you want to try to schedule your outdoor attraction touring during the morning hours. And I would also suggest that what you do is you try to schedule a late lunch, like around 2 o'clock, because then you'll be inside during at least part of the afternoon hours when it's really, really hot. And also, I think Matt said this, what you also want to do is try to schedule your indoor attraction touring during that time. Get a fast pass early in the day for one of several attractions that would be indoors. And another thing, though, people don't realize that you don't have to wait until, you know, and before that attraction, that fast pass time to get another fast pass. Take a look at the bottom of your fast pass, and it will tell you when you can get another fast pass. So you might be able to get two fast passes for some indoor attractions in the afternoon. But you got to watch out between 12 and 4, 12 and 5, because that's when the heat will really turn up.
Absolutely.
Okay. Excellent. And then would you just recommend taking the, you know, the actual break, going back to your resort kind of thing on the days when they have, like, extra magic hours at night? Or would you actually recommend just skipping those?
Actually, that's a good idea. If you can rest up and, you know, get re-energized for the nighttime, and if you can go for those extra magic hours, I would say go for it. They will be, you know, it could very well be crowded during the first half of that extra magic hour period. It's usually 3 hours, and so the first 90 minutes may be more crowded than the last 90 minutes, so you may want to keep that in mind as well.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thanks for calling.
I enjoy listening to you guys.
Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Thanks. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye. 407-278-5939. Don't forget, our special guest today is AJ from DisneyFoodBlog.com. And AJ, you just recently launched you already had your e-dining guide that was out there. And it was awesome, fantastic response to that. And you just released your Magic Kingdom mini guide.
Yes. We just released the Magic Kingdom mini guide to snacks in the Magic Kingdom. So it is just it's 85 pages of snacks in the Magic Kingdom, and all about the reviews, photos, snack credit information, how much it costs, the little special stuff that they don't say on the menu about what it is and how you can get it specialized. Really neat stuff. Lots of fun. There you go. It's great.
I just got to say, AJ, it's a little, come on, Magic Kingdom for the first book, a little cliche, don't you think?
I know, I thought about you today. I thought, oh, man, you know, no wonder Matt hasn't said anything to me about the Magic Kingdom snacks book, because he's probably feeling a little left out. It's okay. We're going to get to Hollywood Studios, and I will need your help to do it.
All right. Sounds good.
He just wants a free copy of the book.
That's also true. let's take our next call. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Lori from Chicago.
Lori!
From Chicago.
Lori!
Hey, Lori.
Hi. I just wanted to say hi to everybody there and special guest AJ. AJ, I don't know if you want to share with people the adventures with Paul. you know what I'm talking about?
The adventures, the adventures with Paul and the Lapu Lapu, you mean?
The Wahoo Wahoo?
So I don't know if you guys have seen at the Boardwalk Resort in Disney World, there are two chairs flanking the fireplace in the lobby, and they're very scary looking chairs. They look like little people sitting down, and it's a weird face with like a sunflower around it. And if you look on the back of those chairs, they actually have names on them. So they're kind of like antique chairs that must have been made for little kids or something. And one's name is Paul. And so some folks have a running joke about Paul the scary chair in the boardwalk and wondering kind of like, what does Paul do at night? Does he run around and scare people? And a good friend of mine, Chelsea Murphy, I dared her to somehow get a Lapu Lapu from the Polynesian over to Paul and take a picture. And that actually happened yesterday and is on my Facebook wall. So it's pretty funny.
I nearly fell over when I saw that photo because Chelsea's one of my friends too, so it was sort of like our worlds collided, and I'm like, what is going on here? I just thought that you'd
drank it. Knowing those two, they drank it at the Poly and just brought the pineapple over. I think that's what happened.
Okay, I actually do have a comment other than the little Paul thing, but if anyone wants to see these chairs, they're very scary, and they're at the Boardwalk Resort, as she said.
Very scary.
They're like, everything there is freaky. You have the freaky clown pool, and you've got these freaky chairs.
It is freaky. And the freaky carousel that randomly comes to life in the middle of the night. Once, you know, it comes to life once an hour, but still, scary.
Okay. I wanted to ask you what you think about the fact that the Kakigori stand is now changing over and expanding into new stuff. I was very excited to hear that.
I think that's awesome. I love the fact that some of these stands, you know, like the refreshment port over there near Future World, they're becoming bigger and better. They're not just kiosks anymore. And this particular stand now, the I think it's called the Kabuki Cafe. Is that what it is? But it's now it's offering ribs. It's offering sushi. You got miso soup, edamame. You got all kinds mm-hmm. of cool stuff. Sake even, which is yay. We love sake.
It makes it easier for the people drinking around the world instead of going into the back of the Koshi sake bar.
We definitely want to make it easier for them.
Sure.
So. Yeah, I agree. I think it's great. I can't wait to go.
All right. I mean, that's pretty much it. I just had to kind of joke around with the picture I saw online and also mention this, but that's about it. And I'm glad you got to come back on to the live show again. It's been fun.
Cool. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. Lots of calls. Don't worry, there's plenty of time. I know the first hour is always tough to get those calls in, but there's plenty of time to get it in, so be patient. We'll be able to take all the calls we need. And don't forget to join us in our chat room, live.wdwtoday.com. But we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Brian Pierce.
Keep trying to radio. Brian?
Sure.
Yeah, that way we don't have to have any feedback there. Okay. Go ahead, Brian. What's on your mind?
Hi. I have two questions for you guys.
12 questions?
Yeah, I have two questions for you guys.
Oh, two. Whew. Okay.
First one, what Disney theme park would you like to see on Broadway? Turn into a Broadway show.
Wow.
Obviously, it's Hollywood Studios. Next.
on Broadway, in New York City.
Yeah. The story of Disney's Hollywood Studios. It's tragic, it's moving, and it ends in a happy ending. So I think it's a great idea.
And
be short, too.
I have a third question, but second question is, what's your favorite classic Disney Channel show, 1980s?
1980s Disney Channel show.
I didn't have
Come
cable
on,
back
then. Come
on, you.
the Disney Channel shows.
My favorite was Pooh Corner.
Good
show. I loved that show. And that was back in, I remember watching that show when it cost money. It cost extra to get on cable, and it would start out, and they would show all the toys in like you know the real world, and they had a narrator who I forgot what the guy's name was, and then they would eventually transition into the animated thing, and I love that. That was my favorite Disney Channel show from the 80s. What about you, Newell? I mean, I know you still have most of these shows on your computer now.
I actually didn't have Disney Channel in the 80s. We didn't get cable TV in our neighborhood till the 90s.
Wow. Didn't fall off a truck one day?
I didn't live in the rich area like you did. You know, I grew up in the ghetto.
See, what Matt's not saying is his mom had the Disney Channel to keep him entertained because he was a little wee thing.
Ah.
But the rest of us were,
gotcha.
Well,
gotcha.
Except for Scopa. Middle school.
Right? Ouch.
Ow, Annette dishing out the insults tonight.
Yeah,
look at that.
She's really.
I should change. And this Diet Mountain Dew, there's like truth serum in it or something.
Making a list. I'm making a list. Checking it twice.
And the third question is, are you going to have Emily on your show again anytime soon?
Which person?
Emily.
Emily. Emily. Actually, Emily is in the chat room for once. You can go talk to her right now. In fact, her name is Vegan Emily. She would love to talk to you. But yeah, we should have Emily on. I mean, she lives 20 minutes from me, so we're going to definitely have Emily on the show once more because we love Emily.
Because we want to know what's new at Baby Cakes at Downtown Disney.
Yeah, the place is great. For those who don't know, Emily is the general manager of Baby Cakes NYC at Downtown Disney in the Pollo Comparo building, and we've had her on a couple different times. Before she was a big shot, and now that she's a big shot, not AJ Big Shot. Let's not get crazy here.
True.
Ouch. Yeah, Emily won't stand us up.
That's right. That's true. I got to give you that.
AJ,
for another year, maybe.
And what's your favorite Hopcat attraction shows?
Favorite Epcot attraction show? Newell, this is all you, man. Current one.
A current attraction show? Probably Soarin's my favorite right now.
Soarin'. It's a good one. Scopa, what about you?
American Adventure always has been and probably always will.
AJ?
Favorite attraction Epcot?
Yeah, right now.
Right this minute.
Yeah.
Maelstrom.
Ooh, that's a good
Maelstrom.
One, too. Yeah, I love the Maelstrom. I'm with AJ. I really enjoy the Maelstrom. I do.
It's a good ride.
It is a good ride. It's so underrated. I agree. Even the movie at the end is awesome. It is.
I know what you.
Well, the one thing I always have to do, quick business trip or whatever, when I go into Epcot, I have to do Spaceship Earth. So that's what I'm going to say. That's just one of those things I have to do.
Good point. You have to. Yeah.
It's a classic.
Let's go to our next call. It's from Angela from Sacramento. Hey, Angela.
Yo, Angela.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Angela.
Hey, so actually, I have a question. This will be our second time going back to Walt Disney World in December because last year it was pretty cold. My husband got sick. We're from California. It was actually colder in Florida than it was in California. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be doing the Candlelight Processional, which is awesome. We're going to see Neil Patrick Harris. But
yes.
I'm trying to figure out if we should actually do the Cinderella's Royal Table. It's just my husband and I, and we're in our 30s, and we don't have any kids. But I don't know if it's something we should do or just pass it up.
Are you thinking breakfast or lunch or dinner?
Probably. Well, I was thinking probably breakfast and try and make potentially... Hopefully, keep fingers crossed, make an ADR for before the park opens so we can either, you know, when it's dead. But I don't know. I mean, is Crystal Palace better than doing it? I just don't know if it's totally worth it because I've heard different stories about food being good, you know, one time, next time it's gross. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that happens at most Disney World restaurants, that it's right. Inconsistent. I like both Crystal Palace and the castle. I think the castle has some great stuffed French toast if you're into, you know, lots of sugar in the morning.
Oh, yum, yeah.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, it's a great atmosphere. It's really fun. You get to watch all the kids just go gaga over the princesses. You know, you get your own little wand. Your husband will get a sword. My husband and I went, we're in our 30s, and we went alone to the breakfast. It's a fun, you know, Disney experience. If you haven't ever eaten in the castle, you should go do it. That's just my advice.
I agree.
Last year, we went all out. I mean, we stayed at the Grand Floridian. We had the deluxe dining plan. We weren't expecting to come back until we had kids again. But when we got back, I was so disappointed because we didn't get to do anything that we're going back again. And I highly doubt we're going to be coming back the following year, but you never know. So I just want to make sure that we hit the things that we didn't get a chance to do last year, this year. So I just wasn't sure if it was that, you know, something we should definitely put on the list or if it's kind of, I don't know, maybe not.
I would say do it. Matt disagrees. Matt says no.
I just think my problem with it, it's way too expensive. It's, and the food doesn't warrant that kind of price. That's my biggest issue among anything else.
Yeah, I think you're paying for everything but the food. that's how I look at it, Matt.
The food is free.
Well, I mean if you take away the location, if you take away the venue, and you just look at the food, I think you'll probably agree with Matt that, you know, what am I paying for? You're paying for the to be in the castle.
Yeah, and well, here's the other thing, too. We're staying at the beach club, and we're staying at club level. So it's kind of like, I don't know if I really want to spend the money to go if we're going to be at a concierge room.
That's a good that's a good point, too.
Yeah. Well, the thing I wanted to bring up, I mean, Angela, you bring up this restaurant, you could substitute for half a dozen restaurants, I'm sure we can come up with very quickly. And there's a lot of restaurants in Walt Disney World where you have the age-old debate of, are you going there for the food or are you going there for the experience? And so some people, that's okay to go for the experience and not so much the food. To me, I go to a restaurant for the food. But that, I mean, that's my personal choice. And obviously AJ likes it quite a bit. And AJ is the expert, so I will defer to her. But just giving you my two cents on it.
Okay, and Matt, I have a question for you because we're going to Mama Melrose the first time. What is your favorite dish there?
Uh-huh. Without a doubt.
I know.
Without a doubt.
I know.
The Mike Newell special. It's the
That's
chicken
the
parmesan. It is. Ask for it by name. It's the chicken parmesan is really, really good. I like that quite a bit.
Yeah.
The other thing
and it's really good.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing that's really good is the chicken, the penne alla vodka pasta is also a very good option.
The flatbreads are pretty good, too.
Go ahead. Go for it.
No, the flatbreads, they are pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Good. If they have a chicken pipette pasta, if they have a pasta that they call pipette of any sort, that's really good too.
Okay. Great.
Anything
Thank
on the menu.
Guys.
Order anything.
Thanks,
Thank
Angela.
You. Bye, Newell.
Bye. Bye. Bye, Angela.
407-278-5939. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Does the Hello. Name Stella ring a bell?
Stella!
Is this Mr. Jackson?
Could be, could be. Hi, guys.
Mr. Jackson!
Andrew!
AJ Jackson.
AJ!
And of course, that's it. I'm not calling to talk to any of the guys. Or
the other AJ.
Come on.
I'm calling to talk to my drinking buddy, AJ.
All right.
Wow, we're learning a lot tonight.
I can't hear you, Andy. I can't hear
you. I'm losing you.
You there?
Yeah, we're here.
So, we are still celebrating National Tequila Day.
National Tequila Year.
Well, of course, of course, of course.
The...
So, we're all getting ready for food and wine?
Absolutely, absolutely. Already looking at the menus around the World Showcase, trying to plan out the route for the cast member preview day, Mr. Jackson, which you're not going to be at because you're going to be working.
Yes, unfortunately, but I'll be there the next day, and we'll work on that.
We'll make it happen.
Yes.
Yes, I am very excited, my friend, and we will probably have to stop and into the cava for our prerequisite before we head around.
Yeah. I don't know how that'll not happen. So.
Awesome. What else is going on?
Well. That's it. Hopefully, we'll try and make it over next weekend to see the new offerings in Japan.
Okay.
I'll get over there for a quick trip and see if there's anything there.
Whatever you find, I'll put on the blog.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mucho excited.
Nice.
And I'm only hearing you. I don't hear the guys. The guys there?
Hey, Andy, this is Mike. You told us to shut up. Hey, Andy, you running the Wine and Dine? This is Mike.
No, not planning on doing that this year. We're going to try and actually volunteer for that. Did it last year, and it's just so off from my normal schedule. I usually get up at like 4:20 in the morning that it's just the nighttime races are just a mess for me.
I hear you. Yeah.
But we are planning. Bonnie and I are signed up to do the relay in January.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the half the day before.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Oh, you're doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You doing the first leg or the second leg?
I'm going to be the second leg on the relay.
I'm doing the first one.
You guys are all crazy.
I know.
Yeah.
13 miles, 2 days in a row. We're crazy. You are.
Yep.
You're right. Yeah.
Well, it's like everybody asked me after this year, they asked, you know, some serious, some joking, okay, when are you going to do the goofy? You know, and then other people said, you know, this is it's a good kind of training idea. So, you know, do the half and the half instead of the half and the full.
Me.
Awesome. Well, Andy, say hi to Bonnie for me.
We will.
Matt.
Yes.
Who is?
Me.
Is Beaker on the phone?
Yes, Beaker is on the phone.
He's on the video, too.
Oh, no. Well, you know, I've been trying. Oh, there he is. Yeah, I've been trying not to watch the video because it's Matt Newell. You know, if I can't see AJ and Annette, I don't want the video.
I'm with you, Andy. I'm so with you.
So, Matt, I did have a question with the studios, as if anybody really cares.
Nobody cares.
Thanks.
Nobody does. What's the story with the ESPN The Weeknd? Is it actually canceled for this coming year, or is it starting the next year?
From the announcement that Disney made, it sounds like it's gone like 6 feet under, dead, like not even like close. Like they didn't, they've had events that are called off for 1 year or something like that, but they said it's just effective. Really, it's gone. So as far as we know, it's unfortunately been canceled. And I wrote a blog entry about it, this past week about it, and I didn't, I'm really disappointed. Obviously, I thought it was a great event. But yeah, as far as I can tell, it's gone until further notice.
Because I believe Copa, they had already announced the 5K there, right?
Yeah, they did.
Oh yeah, it's like they might still hold it in, Andy. You never know. I mean, they don't have to have ESPN on the weekend to hold a 5K race. So I don't know if people have already started registering. I don't know.
I haven't looked to see if registration was open, but that would be odd if they had opened it for registration and then canceled the event. But.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Cool. Thanks, Andy.
So, guys, I'll let everybody go. See y'all soon.
See you in 2 months.
Food and wine, everybody.
See you, Andy.
2 months. See ya.
Right, bye.
Bye, AJ.
Bye, Mr. President.
The other AJ, too.
407-278-5939. Some great calls so far. Let's keep things going. Don't forget we have AJ from DisneyFoodBlog.com as our special guest this week. So, as you might imagine, we might have some dining questions and comments. But we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Urban from Laurel, Maryland. Got Julia in the background here.
Hello.
Hey, Erwin.
Hello.
Hi, Dave. Hey.
How's Lily?
She's in bed.
Good.
But she's doing great.
Good.
Yeah, and I do actually have a dining question.
Yay.
Go for it.
Yeah. Where'd I go? Matt, you mentioned a couple weeks ago that you've had some success with booking a large party by doing multiple small reservations.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think it was Linda mentioned that you want to call up the restaurant at some point to let them know that that's the situation. When's the best time to do that? The day of?
No. Just call
ahead,
them.
AJ, you can take this.
Call them early. Thank you, Matt. something near and dear to my heart that I have experience with. I would say call them. Go ahead and call them at 180 days or whenever you make your reservation. Get the restaurant number. Call them and let them know because you want them to be able to plan for your larger party so they can seat everybody get together as early as possible. Now they might not be able to help you until a little bit later, but they'll at least be able to tell you when they can deal with the situation so that you don't have to worry about everybody being separated into little parties. So I would say call as soon as you can.
Okay, well then it'll be 60 days out or so.
Great, perfect.
Because we're down in October.
Okay.
I was gonna add to that because I've done a lot of group dining.
Yeah.
Even though you talk to them at 180 days, you want to talk to them about a week before you go, and not a bad idea to show up kind of early just to kind of arrange with the manager because sometimes it's not going to work out. There are just some times, depending on what time you've got, they can't.
I always like to
tables.
Well, and that's a great point. What I like to do is if I know that's going to be the situation, I like to make the ADR for the first seating of the meal.
Yeah.
Because that way, hopefully, you would think the restaurant would be empty, and it's a lot easier for them to handle you than than the middle of the day when they're not going to necessarily be keeping 20 seats open.
Yeah, so a 7 p.m. dinner time would be very hard for them to put you together.
Yeah, no, it's like 5:30 at Ohana for 10. We had to do 2 5s.
Perfect. Yeah, you should be okay. See if you can get that big middle table.
That's what we're hoping because we got 5 kids all under the age of 6.
Whew. Then I would suggest putting the 5 kids at one end of the restaurant at the other end.
I like that idea.
Yeah, well, if ukulele Lily happens to walk off with him and we kind of forget that she's got him.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, I'm not going to be down there. It's not going to bother me.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. Looking forward to seeing you all down there.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
407-278-5939. Keep things going here with our next phone call. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Tom and Sunman.
Tom.
Hey, Tom. What's up, man?
Oh, nothing much. How are you guys doing?
Outstanding.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I got a couple questions for you guys and for AJ. I'm taking my first solo trip from September 28th through October 5th.
Lucky you.
And I have never been there during the fall than for Food and Wine Festival. So
it's like a net.
I was just wondering, does that just run on the weekends or does that run all throughout the week as well?
No, sir. That is all throughout the week. It starts on September 30th this year. There will probably, I can't promise, but there usually is a cast member preview day the day before that for the World Showcase booths around the World Showcase in Epcot. So you should be able to get some food at some of the booths the day before the festival opens. But it is open whenever World Showcase is open. Those booths are open for the next, you know, 6 weeks. So you will be able to go anytime. And I would suggest going during the week if you can, because the weekends get pretty busy. So try to go during the week, kind of right at 11 a.m. when they first open to get maximum food intake.
Okay. I actually have it planned to be going on the 3rd. So that would work out really well.
Great. That's perfect. Yeah. Because then like the early crazies like me will have already been there for the whole weekend. So it'll open up a little bit on
okay,
one day.
Okay. My other question for that is, do they accept snack credits for the different booths?
They always have in the past. I haven't seen the menus for this year, so I'm not 100% sure that it will happen again this year, but it's very, 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 very likely that they will accept snack credits for most of the food dishes in the booths. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And, It's too bad Len's not there. I was actually hoping to meet him when I go down there and to actually debate him on the superiority of bourbon to tequila.
Ooh. I don't know about that one. Yeah.
I'm a big bourbon guy. I tried tequila. I just can't get past the taste.
The fact that it tastes like gasoline, kind of, you mean?
Yeah, it's not very good.
what's your best bourbon?
The one I really like is Four Roses Small Batch.
Okay. I will have to try it. I don't know much about bourbon. I'm trying to learn about whiskey, and I don't know much about bourbon yet, so I will have to try that.
Yeah, that's the one that me and my dad swear by, so it's pretty good.
Awesome. Awesome. I will have to try it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, guys.
Hope to see you down there.
Thank you. You too.
407-278-5939, and we have our next call on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Jared Coral Springs.
Hey, Jared.
Hey.
Hola.
Hello, humans.
What's on your mind, Jared?
Two quick questions. I actually just drove down from Disney today, spent the last 3 days there with my wife and friends. We were on Splash Mountain. I actually have two questions, a Splash Mountain question and a general question. Splash Mountain, I kept hearing these kids say, who's that big bear and why are they only showing you his bottom? I was thinking it's because Brer Bear is such a large character, they said, let's try to make half of him, but why would they only show that half?
Do they not have a full body Brer Bear?
Really?
And
you don't
front?
Have a full body Brer Bear?
Yeah, I think
his butt is always towards the boat.
The only one they had was when his feet were tied up around his head and they were pulling him up and down.
It's what makes it funny is that his butt is sticking out.
And my second question is more of a serious one. I actually used to be SCP in 2001 in custodial. We with my friends, we actually ate a tangerine in Morocco. On your guys' advice, it was fabulous.
Yum.
And afterwards, we're getting ready to go on the boat back to the other side of World Showcase. And we see a family near the water. And the mother is just... I'm trying to say it so it's a little bit more classy. She's letting her little son do his business right there on the floor.
Wow.
And the kid's like 4 or 5 years old, and there's a bathroom right behind us. The restroom. Yeah. I quickly went and got a manager because I, you know, used to be a custodian there, so I was like, this is horrible. And basically, as I was noticing on the rest of the trip, because I got a little more observant after that, it seemed like just people were rude everywhere. The way, basically, my question is, do you feel that when, because maybe people spend so much money to go there, they feel like they own the place, do what they want?
No, I think it's a lot of ignorance, to be honest with you. I think there's a lot of people who, it's either ignorance or entitlement. I'm not sure which one. I like to think it's ignorance more than anything. I mean, I've heard all those sorts. My wife's friend, best friend, did college program on Splash Mountain, and a little boy during one day stood up at the point where you're almost done. You go through the log ride and you're coming over, and on your right hand side is that waterfall. And he just stood up and started urinating on the waterfall. I mean, they're just. I mean, it happens, unfortunately. I don't know. It's just humanity. I don't know. Like I said, I think it's ignorance and people just not – either not caring or not caring enough to care. You know what I mean? Like just – people make up 1,000 excuses. It's just, unfortunately, how people operate. I mean, you know, you'll see people doing their business in public in the – you know, I mean, Newell could tell you the stories about, you know, New York City. People do it all the time because even though there's plenty of restrooms around, it's just
– I'd be honest with you. I saw a lot of that at Pop Century the last trip I was on.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah.
It adds the pop to Pop Century.
Pop Century, yep. Oh. Lovely.
Ooh. We're going downhill.
It's not us that's going downhill.
You guys, great show. Keep up the good work. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank
you.
407-278-5939, and we have our next call on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Holly calling from Newfoundland, Canada.
Hey, cool.
International call.
Oh,
yes, first one for tonight, I think.
Yay.
I have a couple of questions for you guys.
Shoot.
Yeah, shoot.
We're heading down the 25th of August for 10 or 11 nights, and I'm kind of really excited to hopefully be able to see the original version of Tiki Room.
Kind of really excited.
Okay. Well, actually, very, very excited.
Okay.
do we have any idea when it's going to be open?
It was closed last week. I have no idea.
I thought it was supposed to be. I heard. I could be wrong. I thought I heard August.
Let me do some checking.
Yeah, someone, the Gracie's Buttle, whatever. Somebody in chat room says August 16th. Jim and Jez says August 15th. August 15th. Figman Rules says. So I'm thinking it's August 15th or 16th.
I'm just going to
August 16th. We'll be there on the 28th, so I'm hoping we're okay for that one.
Yeah, I think by that point, if everyone's quoting 15th, 16th, Scope is going to look it up right now, but 15th is what I'm seeing here.
Okay, second question. This one's a bit strange. We're heading head-to-head. The first couple of few nights, we're going to stay at Pop Century. They were switching over to Riverside.
Uh-huh.
And while we're at Pop Century, we're going to get a car for a day, do some things off-property, maybe shopping, stuff, that sort of thing. And we have to get over to the downtown Hilton to get our car. So we're thinking we're going to take the bus to Downtown Disney and then walk over to the Hilton. How far is that?
Wait, which Hilton are you talking about?
The one in the Downtown Disney area.
Downtown Disney Hilton.
Oh, that one. Yeah, that's possible. It's a good...
You could do that.
Yeah.
So how about 5 minutes?
You could also get get a taxi at Downtown Disney if you really want to and take a taxi over, or just take a taxi over, period.
Yeah, we're thinking maybe we might take a taxi because we're kind of not used to the heat. We're figuring we're going to have to melt down there in August, but we might walk, we might take the taxi. I just kind of wondering if there's sidewalks and there's crosswalks or is it a busy road.
Yes, absolutely.
There are.
No, the Hilton's right on a corner, like a three-way traffic light, so that's actually a perfect place to cross.
Okay, perfect. Third question. I keep hearing you guys last few weeks talking about something special happening at 1,000. Don't tell us you're all going to retire at 1,000, are you guys?
Yeah, $9.99. That's it. then our 10 years is over. We're finally done.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
So is it like something like Y2K, or is it like zombie apocalypse or something? Or
it's more like, do you remember in Pirates of the Caribbean when Davy Jones says how many years you have to work before the mast until you clear your debt to society? It's kind of what this is.
Oh, jeez.
By the way, I loved that episode with the zombies, by the way. It was one of my favorites.
That was good. That was funny. That was a lot of fun to do.
Anyway, you guys have a nice evening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
407-278-5939. Don't forget to join us in our chat room. We've got a lot of people in there, some great conversations going on. And, of course, not only is AJ in there, but also Emily from Baby Cakes NYC. I saw Michelle Scribner-McLean in there. I saw AJ's dad is in there. Irene, Tom Bricker, lots of famous, famous people that are much smarter than us. So you can join them in there and be smart, too. Cheryl Perlmutter, among all of them. Live.wdwtoday.com. And we have our next call on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey guys, it's Anne from Columbus.
Hi, Anne.
Hey, Anne.
Hey, how you doing?
Fab.
Fab.
Outstanding. quick question about transportation. My husband and I are going to be staying at Saratoga Springs for two nights without a car, and we're going to be doing everything else in the world for those two nights, and we're actually doing five nights at Pop after that and doing those as our park days. But the two nights at Saratoga Springs, we're not doing any parks, so we're going to be doing like parasailing at Bay Lake and watching Wishes from the Poly Beach. And I was just wondering what the best way to get to the Contemporary and to the Poly is from Saratoga Springs without a car.
Well, without a car, taxi is going to be the fastest option, because you're going to have to drive point A to point B. Now, of course, it's also an expensive option. Is that a possibility for you, or are you looking for using free transportation?
Hoping free, but I mean, yeah, I hadn't thought about the taxi option. So
don't forget that you're close to downtown Disney. So if you got over to downtown Disney, you could grab a bus to a resort.
You can also grab a bus to Magic Kingdom and then walk over to Contemporary from there.
Yeah, that's what
Welshie recommended. Yeah, would it be faster to go to the Magic Kingdom and take, like, the monorail or whatever rather than walk through downtown Disney to wait for the bus, since that's a little slower most of the time?
Depends on where you are in Saratoga.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
All right.
That sounds bad, but I'd say as long as I'm not doing it with you, because I always pick the wrong route. It's just like picking a line at the grocery store.
Yeah.
So, but just know that it's an adventure. So if you started off and went to downtown Disney, then you could move on to the next location from there. Just kind of plan.
True. Okay. Excellent. Well, thanks so much.
Cool. Thanks, Ann.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Ann.
407-278-5939.
Matt, on the Tiki Room.
Yes.
I would keep a look. The only place I would put a lot of credibility in would be on the Disney Parks blog, because they will probably announce it before anybody else, and I don't see anything. All I know is that it's late summer, so my guess is going to be in August sometime, but I don't know if I'd say the 15th. I'd say probably the last half of August.
Yeah, people were saying 15th, so I'm imagining someone posted it somewhere.
Could be.
It may go into soft openings. Right. It may go soft openings around the mid-August.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point, Mike. 407-278-5939. Let's keep things rolling here with our next call. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Good evening. This is Jay from somewhere in the U.S.
Hey, Jay Griffith.
Good evening.
How are we doing tonight?
Why are we talking like this, Jay?
I don't know.
It's like the Geico guy.
It sounds creepy. Creepy Jay.
Well, I've got a question about, it's sort of a transportation question that came up this afternoon.
Okay.
Yes, Creepy Jay.
If someone would be attempting to do the six parks in one day option, what time would be the best flight to go from Orlando to Los Angeles?
Oh man, where's Len? You need him on this one.
Yeah,
awesome.
You need to
that. Oh man, I would love to do that. That would be so cool.
I would think it's early evening Eastern time, like
five
ish. Yeah.
Four,
right?
That's what we were thinking. Like a 4 or 5 o'clock flight that would get in around 7. Would that give enough time to get each coast?
Would there be an extra magic hour in Disneyland?
Yeah, you need something like that.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, that would be
I'm thinking
cool.
Early evening.
You know, Jay, you just gave Len a whole idea now. He's going to have to do this.
It's something that's on the bucket list that we've got to get crossed off someday. We've got to do a coast-to-coast meet in one day.
Well, if you're flying us, if you're flying.
Exactly, Jay. Why don't you fly us out there?
Well, let's all jump in the jet and we'll go for a ride.
Yeah.
Private plane is your perfect answer.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Hop on Jay's flight.
I'll charter one. That'd be all right.
I'm not flying with Jay until he learns how to fly what I would consider real airplanes, like 737s, not these puddle jumpers that he flies right now. No offense, Jay.
Yeah, no offense.
My little toy jet.
Yeah, no thanks. I don't want the flights where Jay has to come out there and say, "Hey, Newell, can you move over to the right side of the plane?" And AJ, oh wait, ouch. She didn't show up for this. She blew us off. Okay, Annette, move up 2 seats.
Oh, you're laughing about that, but seriously, I've gotten on a plane like that before where they weighed everybody and told them exactly where to sit.
Oh, yeah, I've been moved.
Scary.
They made me move for weight.
I've had to make people move, not on a daily basis, but at least once a week I have to get someone to move from the front of the plane to the back.
Those are things that people you're flying with should not know, like how much you weigh.
And, you know, they never move you from the back to the front, like, you know, the first class.
There you go.
I'm gonna skip those flights.
Yeah.
What, first class? Do you have to weigh more to get first class or less to get first class?
I don't know.
I think officially, airplanes that have first class, you actually weigh more.
They don't care what you weigh in first class. Hey, they keep feeding you.
I think on a plane with first class in the summer, you weigh 190 pounds.
As long as your wallet weighs enough, you can say anyway.
Yeah. That's
what Chris would say. Your wallet weighs says how much you weigh.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Well, we'll get this coast-to-coast meet planned up, and we'll get some flights going.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks, Jay.
Air Jay. Fly Air Jay to the west.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Yeah, this is Keith to Spain.
Hey, Keith.
How you doing, Matt?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Hey, I've got a question for Scopa.
Go ahead, Keith.
All right. I am doing the Disneyland half marathon, first half marathon I've ever done in my life, September in Anaheim.
I'll see you there.
Sounds good. And I was wondering, what's kind of the best, I guess a few questions. What's the best way to have breakfast? Because I know the marathon's obviously early, but I need fuel for that.
Try to make this quick. When you run, Keith, what's the latest, how recently do you have your last meal before you go out and run?
It usually tends to be about 3 or 4 hours before. Most of my running I do at night after work, so it's basically lunch.
All right, this is what a couple of friends of mine do who do Ironman
you said
events. So what you want to do is when you wake up, I don't know what time, I'm not even sure, I have to stop looking at that, what time the Disneyland half starts, but I would say what you want to do is you want to bring with you have about an hour before you leave your room, a little bit of applesauce. Have a little applesauce and some water. That will give you enough fuel to get you to the start. You also want to, if you haven't already, you may want to start thinking about using those goo packets. Have one 15 minutes before the race. Also carry them with you during the race, and you should have one at least every 40 minutes into the race to keep your blood sugar at a certain point, keep your fuel level high, keep your what is it called? I forget the name of it. It's called, you want to keep a certain level up there so it doesn't drop. But if you do that, you should be okay. You don't want to eat too much before the race because you don't want nature to call you and say,
right.
Hey, Keith, it's time to, you know, we've got too much stuff here, you know. So you want to try what you want to do is before the race, I would suggest trying out different techniques, trying out different ways of giving yourself fuel, and that will give you preparation for the actual day of the race.
Okay. And the next question, in terms of, I know you're, you know, after the race, I don't want to go back and rest just yet. I need to, you know, run around the parks. Is there a way to run around and rest or just deal with however much pain I'm in from all that running?
Well, what you really should do is you should go back to your room, take a hot shower, do some stretching, then go right back out. You don't want to take a nap. You want to go right back out. But it's really a good idea to have a hot shower and to stretch it out. I know what Len has done in the past is he's run a half and he's gone out through the – you know, he has toured the parks and I don't know how long he's toured the parks before he needs to get back and take a shower or whatever. But it's safe to say that what you want to do is you want to continue your day and do a normal day instead of resting, because you'll find that your legs will tighten up.
Okay, and then my last two questions, and thanks for the time. First is what kind of meal should I be eating after the race?
Lots of protein, lots of carbs. Make sure you drink a lot. You need to drink a lot when you finish the race. You should be taking in anywhere between 24 to 32 ounces of fluid the first hour after you finish. And you should also stop at every single water stop and drink. We're talking Southern California. I'm not sure how warm it's going to be that morning, but I'm preparing to drink as much. I'm actually going to be wearing a water belt that day because I'm really anticipating it to be a real scorcher. So just to play it safe, I want to make sure that I'm hydrated. That's a real big thing. So you want to do that. And after the race, you know, you want to get protein in and you want to get your electrolytes back up there.
Okay. And then last question, are you and Len going to have any sort of meetup down there that weekend?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure there's no way I'm going to be able to avoid him. So I'm probably going to have to run into him. And I know that Len and I are probably going to try to meet up with Sam Genoway while we're down there too. So look for me. You never know.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do. Cause I, you know, as Matt knows, I'm a Disneyland pass holder.
Oh,
and yes. I make it down to Disney World probably about every 3 or 4 years. So, but I always listen to the show because it's great fun and keeps me informed on what's going on the other coast. So,
we appreciate it. Keith. Thank you very much.
Good luck, Keith.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye.
Okay, bye bye.
Cool. And of course, I want to mention that we have on the show with us AJ from DisneyFoodBlog.com, and of course, AJ, we should remind our listeners about the WDW Foodie Fest, which is coming up in October, right?
Yes, it is. WDW Foodie Fest, which we launched last year, is a big meetup for anybody who likes food in Disney, or even if you don't, you can still come. And we are doing it the first week of the Food and Wine Festival. So there's a lot of events you can come and check out. And, and I don't know, can I mention some sponsors?
Yeah, absolutely. I was about to mention it, but you beat me to it, so please take it away.
Yeah, our platinum sponsor this year is MEI Mouse Fan Travel, which you guys know well if you're WDW Today listeners. I'm going to ignore the who.
Who?
And the fabulous Annette Owens is part of that awesome company.
Thanks for reminding them. They like to forget.
Yeah. So we're very excited that they're sponsoring. We also have AllEars.net is a sponsor. Raglan Road and Swan and Dolphin Food and Wine Classic are all helping support that event.
Wow,
so I hope
that's awesome.
Come out, check it out. Yeah. We're super, super excited. But the big main event is October 2nd. If you're going to be in Disney World that day, we hope you'll come and check us out, wdwfoodiefest.com.
Those are great sponsors. All we usually get is like touring plans.
We never sponsor anything for you, Matt.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. Let's take our next call. Hi, who are we speaking with? Oh, they hung up.
Yeah.
215-8 code.
That was Becky.
Lost out.
No, but trying to call in.
Becky, call back.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Allison.
Hey, Allison.
Allison. Ooh.
I live in Providence, Rhode Island. How are you guys
Allison
doing?
In Wonderland.
Robin. It's Allison, Robin.
So I have two questions for you.
Yeah.
My first question is this. Sometimes you guys talk about bringing in, like, food or maybe drinks in a backpack into Walt Disney World. My husband and I are coming down in the end of August, and we were just not really thinking about bringing in a lot of food or whatever, but maybe just bringing a backpack with some water bottles or
maybe pop shows in case it rains or something, but how accessible is it to bring a backpack on the rides and things like that?
Backpack would be fine.
Yeah.
Right, Mike?
Yeah, last week I wore a backpack. I wore my MEI Mouse Fan travel backpack every day. Yes. And I brought in whatever I needed, water, you know, stuff like that. And it you know, you get used to it after a while, Allison. You figure out when you want to carry it, when you want to just wear it, depending upon the attraction, depending upon if it's a ride, if it's a show. You know, you tend to figure out what's the most comfort level. So it may take a while, but it's doable.
And really, there's ways to hook it around your leg. I've had to do that on like Tower of Terror and on Rock and Roller Coaster. Most of the time, though, it'll fit in some of the bags that they have. They have pouches for them. So it really is not that bad.
So, I mean, you can pretty much take it with you on whatever ride or whatever. There'll be a space to put it, and you don't have to leave it somewhere.
Yeah, the backpack I had is pretty big, and I rode a Space Mountain and Splash and what else? I forget what else. Tower of Terror. You know, there was plenty of room. I think sometimes, depending upon how big the backpack is, it may be too big for the cage or whatever the netting that they have for you. But you can, like Annette said, wrap it around your leg and just keep it tight.
I always have a bag with me. So, you know, and I actually think sometimes my purse is bigger than the backpacks. So, you know. The great thing about a backpack is you have everything zipped up, everything's in there nice and tight, and you can just hook it through a leg, through an arm, hold on to it, and you'll be good.
All right, good. All right, and I just had one other question. It was about dining. We have a bunch of ADRs, and there was three that were kind of in between, and we can only pick two of them. So the three that we were in between were Blue Zoo, Flying Fish, and Narcoosies, and we're seeing it the dolphins. So we were wondering what you thought about that.
Oh man,
those are that's tough because I like them all. Flying Fish is my favorite of the three, and then Blue Zoo and Narcoosies are probably tied for me.
Flying Fish is winning in the chat room right now.
Yeah, Flying Fish is my choice too. Yeah.
Yeah, Jill from Maryland, Blue Zoo, and Flying Fish. Yeah, KB Sparty, Flying Fish, Mommy Mouse, Flying Fish, Ellie, Flying Fish, yeah. Fran Dog, Skip Narcoosies, only one not in Boardwalk area.
Oh, she's saying go to the one in the Boardwalk area.
Right. Everyone's saying Flying Fish, if that matters to you.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much.
Sure.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, you guys Allison. Have a good night.
Bye.
Thank you. I wanted to... I want to remind all of our listeners about our take a moment here to remind all our listeners about our sponsor, AllEars.net. It's your they're celebrating 15 years of being online, and it makes sense because All Ears is your one-stop shop for everything Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. All Ears has menus of all the restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling with special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a free weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World. And join over 133,000 other subscribers who receive a dose of Pixie Dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today. And we always want to thank All Ears for their support. They've been a major supporter and sponsor for WDW Today for a number of years now, and we really appreciate everything they do for this show. And Deb and the whole crew at AllEars.net, you guys do a great job. So thank you very much for supporting WDW Today. Couldn't do it without you guys.
You're welcome.
Yay!
Yay! I thought you said Deb and the Hulk.
The Hulk also helps us out. You'd be surprised.
It's amazing who they have.
Don't make me angry.
Oh, it's Scopa. Scopa Hulk.
Bruce Banner's a great guy, I'm just saying.
Dr. Bruce Banner.
472-785-9939. Let's keep things going. And we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Our next caller. Hi, this is Barry in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Hey, Barry.
Hey, Barry.
I have a kind of a serious question because I was talking about this with my parents yesterday. I wanted to get your opinion on it.
Okay.
We were talking about my parents are Vacation Club members, and when our daughter was younger and out of school, we were able to afford to go to Disney World pretty much every year. But this last trip that we took in February, even with staying with our Vacation Club parents and not having to pay for a hotel or anything, the trip for a week still cost us nearly $2,000 with airfare and tickets and food and other assorted knickknacks. Uh-huh. So I'm just wondering, do you think that Disney World, with the constant price increases on everything, may be pricing out a certain segment of the population and we may not be able to afford to go to Disney World anymore?
I think so.
I'd like to answer that, Matt. Barry, I was there last week and there were a couple of things that I noticed, and I think that what all the price increases are doing is it's making people make choices. And by that I mean maybe staying off the property, maybe making different choices for dining, because I can tell you that I did not have any ADRs last week, and I was able to walk up to any restaurant and sit down and have a meal. And that's it's just unheard of in July. And I think that it's because the restaurants, their prices have gone up. The hotel rooms, the prices have gone up. So I think what has happened is I think there may be a shift. I think people are not going as often. They're not staying as long. They're not staying in the normal rooms that they would, and they're not eating in the restaurants that they normally would. I think that they're making choices and figuring out how they can stretch their dollar. So I think that, to your point, I think that, yes, it is pricing some people out, but those of us who still go, I think we're finding ways to keep that cost at a certain point, and that means making tough choices.
Yeah, I mean, prices have obviously been going up for years now. I mean, you can look at almost any segment of Walt Disney World. You can look at the stroller rental costs and how they've just been skyrocketing, and costs for resorts have gone up, discounts have gone down. Disney's trying to find that point, that tipping point, how far can we push this before, you know, it teeters over and then people say, oh, I can't afford a trip to Walt Disney World anymore. And clearly, I mean, everyone in the chat room, you know, we all complain, I complain as well, but we still go. You know, but there's options out there. I mean, don't forget, you know, and people mentioned in chat room, somebody mentioned, you know, you can stay off site. You don't have to stay at Disney World property. You don't have to buy the dining plan. You don't have to eat at the sit down restaurants. You don't have to eat at any of the restaurants. In fact, you can bring food from outside. You can take breaks and go somewhere else and eat at Wendy's or a number of restaurants in the area. You can, you know, I mean, there's very, other than park admission, you know, there's very little you need to spend in the parks. There's just a lot that we like to spend in the parks. And unfortunately, those costs are going up because they can. I mean, you know, it's not like Disney World's, you know, hurting for attendance or anything like that. They're doing fairly well for themselves. And like I said, I think they're trying to find that tipping point. So clearly it hasn't hit there yet. I mean, the economy's not great, so that's kind of like a mitigating factor there. But I think that it's I think you're onto something. I think you're paying attention and you're seeing a trend that's developing. A lot of people have been seeing.
I think that I think we all learn it and we become better consumers. I had mentioned earlier in the show that I actually went through two cases of water that I bought at the Hess gas station, you know, $5 or $6 for 24 bottles. So we went through 48 bottles last week. Each bottle in a park is $2.50. So figure how much 48 times 250 is, and that's how much I saved on that. So you figure out ways of you know, making your dollar stretch. And I think that these price increases are making us even better, you know, consumers than we have been before.
Yeah, because my point with the whole price increases is, like, even just getting to the park and getting into the park, because living in Wisconsin, I mean, we can't go that often, so we either have to fly or drive, and either way, I mean, we got lucky this last trip and got my wife, myself, and my daughter on Southwest for about $590 round trip, which is awesome. But then buying the tickets, I mean, for two adults and a child for 7 days, that was almost $900. Mm-hmm. And that's just tickets and airfare. I mean, and now we've talked it over, and now we're cutting back from every year to every other year. And I'm really hoping I don't have to cut it back more from that, because I don't want to cut myself off from Disney, being the fanatic that I am.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough choice, and a lot of people are going through it. I mean, you have to – we talked about this, I think, on a recent show where – or maybe it's tomorrow's show. Anyway, we talked about it recently where, you know, I mean, you could – I mean, there's nothing stopping you from going to the beach. You can save money there. I mean, you have to pay – but people still choose to go to Walt Disney World because, I mean, we love it and everything like that. There's nothing wrong with that. But the cost of it is absolutely going up. But, you know, maybe for your family, obviously, maybe you've reached that teetering point. You know, you're saying to yourself, you know, I could spend this money, or we could spend, you know, 2/3 of it, you know, by going on a cruise or going to the beach or going to Chicago or New York, and you know, maybe we'll save $300 or $100 or whatever it may be. And to a lot of people, that might be worth it, that kind of a saving. So, you know, when the prices start to make you, as it clearly has, consider other options, I think that, yes, you've answered your own question, that they are starting, the prices are going up considerably.
Now, here's something I want to just kind of throw out there, just because when I was DVC, I've since sold it, but when we were DVC, we would get the 10-day non-expiring tickets and use those for several different trips, so it would spread it out. And we actually did one trip where we just went to water parks every day. We didn't go in the parks because that's what we had left. But we did that to try and have tickets a couple of years in advance of when we were going, because you just knew the prices were going up.
Yeah. All right. Barry, appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys.
407-278-5939. And we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Mike from Virginia.
Mike. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, I'm planning a trip in January with me and some friends and their kids, and this is going to be my first time staying off-site, and it's going to be my first time with an annual pass. And I had a question about how the free parking works at the parks with the annual pass. Because what I'm wondering is, you know, if we go there in the morning and we get in, you know, for free with my annual pass, if my friend wants to go back to the resort in the middle of the day to take a nap, when they come back, are they going to be able to get back in for free?
So is there one car or two cars?
Just one car. But if, you know, some of us are staying in the parks while some of the others go back to the resort to take a nap.
Well, I mean, here's how it works. To get into the park with an annual pass and get free parking, when you get to the parking attendant, you show your annual pass. And they look at it and say, okay, go ahead. In my opinion, Matt Hochberg's opinion, let me change the video so you can see exactly who's talking here.
Him. that guy.
I say give your friend an annual pass, and then he can come back and not and park for free, because it's still one car. It's not like you have two cars and you're trying to game the system. You know, you're entitled to free parking. I personally don't see it as a problem to go back. Does anyone think that would be wrong to do? Could be.
Fine with it. No, I'm fine with it. I think you're right, Matt. I mean, the original admission was to allow everyone in the car, so why not?
Yeah. And in the chat room suggests parking at the Polynesian.
No.
That's not going to help if you were at the Animal Kingdom park.
Are you off property? Are you staying off property?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with Matt and Mike. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
But now the problem I have with that is, if I do that, would I have any way to get fast passes?
No.
You'd be out of a ticket while they're gone.
Right.
But, wait, no, I take it back.
You would be the runner.
No, I take it back. Switch park tickets with your friend.
He can't get back in with his finger.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
Unless you're giving your finger over.
All right. No, you're out of luck. Yeah.
All right. And there's no way to just kind of request a receipt or anything when you're going in?
No.
Not with an annual pass. No, they just wave you in.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, thanks for the advice, and have a good evening.
Thank you. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. And I think we have a special guest on the line.
What? Hang
on. Not EJ, though.
Autumn?
Really? Who is it? Luke? Oh, my gosh.
I'm excited.
Hang up on him.
What? 407-278-5939 is our...
What a tease.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
No. Look, everybody in the chat room is like, is it Len?
Anyway,
in
the meantime, we'll go to Vinny from Chicago. Hey, Vinny.
Hey, how are you?
Vinny, special guest.
I'm actually in Columbus.
Oh, okay.
We had an epic trip in April of this year, 10 days. Stayed at the Poly, park hopped, just had an amazing time. But in 2 weeks, we're actually coming back down for a family event in Melbourne, and we're going to sneak one day over back to Hollywood Studios.
Nice.
So what would be your must-dos if you've just got one day to burn through? We're going to be there
open to close. I've got three young boys. We're into all the stuff, but what's your must-dos, including a dinner recommendation?
Well, I'll let AJ answer the dinner question.
All right.
She is much smarter than I. Assuming they can ride everything and there's no height restriction issues and or fear issues, I mean, you got to go with Tower.
Well,
that's a trip.
Yeah, I was going to say Tower is on the list already.
All right, the best attraction in Disney World, so that makes sense. Rock and Roller Coaster, obviously. new Star Tours. How old are your kids? How old are your boys?
13, 10, and 6. The 6-year-old can't make it onto Rockin', but everything else we're good.
For the 6-year-old, you should sign him up for Jedi Training Academy. He'll love it.
Yep.
The 10-year-old, I think he's technically old. He's within the age range. He might be, depends on how, sometimes when they get to like 10 or 11 years old, they get kind of like over the whole, like they know that it's, you know, it's choreographed. Right. They don't enjoy it as much. So you'd have to kind of, you have to kind of gauge it on your own. But the 10-year-old, I think theoretically could make, I think 11-year-old is the cutoff point for that. But anyway, you know, gauge that interest from your son as well. I'm sure the kids will love the stunt shows, Indy. Lights, Motors, Action are great. Muppet Vision, everyone loves that. I mean, I love that. It doesn't matter, you know, how old you are. Those are definitely some must-dos, without a doubt.
So here's a question for you. When we were there in April was the first chance we got to get on to Toy Story Mania. And we had an amazing time. You know, we rode that, I don't know, probably 6 or 8 times over the course of the week. Coming back for one day and realizing there's no EMH that morning, which we're a big fan of the morning because we'll get up and we'll get after it at 8 o'clock, but they're open at 9 that morning. Is it better to go straight there, ride it, get a fast pass, and then head over to Star Tours? Or, you know, what would your fast pass strategy on that be?
For Toy Story?
Yeah, and for Star Tours.
Star Tours is, a lot of people are worried about it. I don't know if the Disneyland thing kind of freaked everybody out. I know that in our chat room, actually, Emily from Baby Cakes NYC, her sister was asking me about it. And she said, "No, when do we have to go? Do we have to get a fast pass immediately?" And honestly, if as long as you get Star Tours done before like 11 o'clock in the morning, you should be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, the waits rarely get above 40 minutes by that. I mean, it's really the middle afternoon when the waits really get the worst. So,
really?
My advice to it has a huge capacity. People don't realize that Star Tours has a huge capacity. And so my recommendation for you is go to Toy Story in the morning, ride it, because the Fast Pass line goes all the way to Little Mermaid often. And I just figured, you know what, forget it. Just ride Toy Story, get it out of the way, and then go do the Sunset Boulevard attractions, and then go do Star Tours. So that's
okay.
Star Tours would be number 4 on your plan. Of course, you have to be there for park opening.
Sure, absolutely. That's not going to be a problem.
AJ, dinner.
Dinner. So you've got kiddos. So I would say either 50s Prime Time if they're outgoing, or head over to Sci-Fi Dine-In if they like movies.
Oh, not a big fan of sci-fi.
Okay, then you don't have to go there. Have you been to 50s Prime Time yet?
No, we haven't. We've tried to get in a couple of times. And since we're so close to the trip, I know we're not going to get an ADR, but we're really lucky with walk-ups. So we'll try them.
Definitely try it. I think the 6-year-old will love it. The 10-year-old will either be over it or have fun, but not show it.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, hey, I really appreciate all your help there.
Yeah. Thanks.
Cool.
All right. Hey, Matt, one more thing.
Yeah.
I know you do your updates on Sundays. Are you going to be in the park on that particular day? We'd love to buy you a refreshment of some sort.
He'll find a way to get there. Don't worry.
I think perhaps now I'm having it. I generally am. Just shoot me an email like the week before you go, just to make sure, because my plans change every now and then.
Okay, very good.
I'm usually there in the morning, like around 11 or so at the latest. So if I'm there, I'll be more than happy to meet you. I'd love to.
I will fire you off an email, and we'll see if we can get it arranged.
Cool. Thanks, Vinny. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much, guys.
Take care, Vinny.
Have fun.
How you doing, Vinny?
407-278-5939. Keys. You guys just, anybody who comes in with anything, Angela, Vinny.
Hey, Angela. Hey, Vinny. Get no respect.
Stella!
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Jim from Bristol, Connecticut.
Hey, Jim. What up?
Jim, how's it going?
Oh, it's great. This is awesome. I'm glad that I could finally speak with you all, and I'm glad that AJ is there because I have a question about the Food and Wine Festival.
Oh, yeah. Love talking about it.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, Jim.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. We noticed that they have the big events that are coming out on the 26th, the 16th. But
16th. My wife
and I really like to do the small culinary events that are like $10 to $13. We go around and they show us how to cook up a certain meal and you get a glass of wine with them. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah,
but
I like those.
I haven't seen anything about them at all.
No, sir, you haven't. Those have not been announced yet. We don't know, we don't know the exact presentations yet. We do know the costs. We do know what times they're going to be available, but we don't know who it's going to be yet. So we still have to wait for that stuff. We've heard that information's going to be up on August 2nd. We've heard a lot of different dates that information will be up, but you know, I'll have it on the food blog as soon as I see it, I'll have it up.
We're watching it every day. So.
Oh, all thank right, you, so. Sir. I appreciate it.
So we know that they're going to be, are they going to go on sale that exact date, or are they separate from the other stuff?
Nope. I was told by Marianne Hunnell, who was the large and in charge of the festival, that everything will be available on the same day this year. Because I know last year they had some stuff available earlier and some stuff available later. I was told that everything will be available on the same day this year. That's always subject to change, but I'm planning to be there at 7 a.m. on August 16th, you know, ready to book. And we're not sure if it's going to be, I know we should be able to book a lot of it online. So, so definitely be prepared for that, but you'll always be able to call WDW Fest 407 WDW Fest and book stuff that way too.
Oh, great. Well, we're really looking forward to it. We're signed up for the Foodie Fest on the 2nd. So.
Oh, Jim, that's great.
Yeah, we'll be there. Are you going to be there for that?
Heck yeah.
All right. So we'll bump into you then.
Absolutely.
I'm planning on being at Foodie Fest there too. Can't wait. It was so much fun last year.
Oh, I hope it's even more fun this year. And I'll have a food blog, a T-shirt of some sort on, Jim. So come and say hello, please.
All right, great. We love the Food and Wine Fest. This is the first time we heard about Foodie Fest. We didn't know about it. We're new to blogging, I guess. But it's great that you're doing what you're doing, and we're looking forward to going there in October and enjoying all of the events and stuff that they have to offer.
I can't wait to see you. I will definitely get that information up as soon as I get it.
407-278-5939. Don't forget, join us in our chat room. You can listen there. You can view. We've got a webcam going on. We've got the chat room, as I mentioned. So live.wdwtoday.com. It's a lot of fun in the chat room, I got to say. A lot of people giving me some great comments, most of them making fun of me, but the rest are also kind of interesting. So come check it out. We've got a lot of people in there. AJ's in there answering questions. Scopa's answering questions. Emily is sharing her wisdom. So it's a lot of fun. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who's on the line with us?
Hey, it's Leanne calling, Crochet on the chat line there. So, hey.
Hey,
how you doing?
Good. How are you, Leanne?
Hey, got about three quick questions for you. Quick question is, first one is, looking at going to Typhoon Lagoon in September, and I know most of the kids down south have gone already to school and all such, but how busy really is it in early mid-September for Typhoon Lagoon?
It's dead.
Oh, okay. So really don't need to worry about rushing to get there early?
I would still get there early, but I mean, September in general is a dead month. I mean, there's just it's just a slow month. People are back, kids are back in school, and it's a little too early to pull kids back out of school.
Yeah.
It's probably September and January are the slowest months of the year. So, with that being said, the good news is you know, I would still get there. I always get there for opening anyway. Just, you know, maximize your time and maximize, you know, the low crowds, especially for those first few hours. I think that's probably just the a good way to go. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of makes sense to do it that way, regardless of the crowd level. But I think you'll notice that even when you get to like 11, 12 o'clock, you look around and be like, really? That's it?
Oh, that's good. I like that. Next thing is, next quick question is, we're going to be going to the Night of Joy. I know I talked to Newell about the, and you told me all about Striper.
That's right.
Listen to Striper again. That's right. But quick question for you. So we got tickets to the Night of Joy, but just curious, if we're going to be in the Magic Kingdom for the Night of Joy, and it's a hard ticket event, do we actually need to leave the park and kind of get our ticket or bracelet or whatever, and then go back in, or can we stay in the park? I've never done anything like that before. So, what can you tell me about it?
You know, I'm not sure how that works. If it's typical, like if it was like Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party or something like that, you can do it. They do it in the park. You don't have to leave the park physically. But because Night of Joy is a little bit different, I'm thinking you got to leave. I haven't been there. I have no clue. Maybe someone in the chat room has an idea. My guess is that you'd have to leave the park, but I could be wrong on that. Looking in the chat room right now, if anyone has a answer for you, Leanne. But
I'll see. I'll watch too.
They bust so many teenagers in for that. Yeah, I'd be surprised if they had them.
Yeah, I think.
Like, I wasn't sure if we're, because I know that the park closes early that day, but I just wasn't sure if we, how it all worked, if we had to actually leave just to turn around and go in another gate just to come back in to watch all the performers and that. So, and then a quick question for you guys, maybe even AJ. Okay, so we're going down to, in September, obviously. My husband and I are going to be celebrating our 15th anniversary while we're down there. We're going to go to Sanaa. But wasn't sure, what can you recommend for food? You know, anything like that really stands out that's a real signature dish you would just say you go to every time?
I love Sanaa. I was just there 2 weeks ago with Emily, of all people. Emily that's from cool. Baby Cakes, we went there. I don't know. AJ, what's your thoughts? Best signature dish for Sanaa? I've got my
for Sanaa specifically?
Yeah.
You're asking? I love the bread appetizer, all the different breads, that particular appetizer. I would get the dessert trio as well.
Okay.
I personally love the tandoori chicken, but everybody knows I'm a big chicken fan. So Matt, what's your suggestion?
Oh, I mean, the tandoori chicken my wife loves. The bread sampler, you're totally right on. It's a great dish.
Yeah.
The bread sampler.
It's an appetizer.
Okay, it's an appetizer. Yeah, you get to pick a couple different breads. Even if you don't know what they are, you can always ask the server just to recommend a couple of them. There's a couple different dips you can choose from as well. It's a lot of fun. I really, really like it. It tastes awesome, so I'm a big fan of that. The other one is the option. I forget the name. I probably should have pulled up on All Ears Net the menu. But it's like choose two or three. There's like a chicken curry. There's a couple other different dishes you can choose from. It's kind of like the bread sampler. Like you pick a couple things, and I wish I should probably pull it up.
That's actually called that trio where you choose a few you choose three from the list. They have I think they have a vegetarian one, and they also have one that is called like slow braised in gravy or something. Is literally what it's called.
Okay.
So look
I'll
for that.
Look at the menu. So yeah. Oh, awesome.
I'm pulling it up right now. Sanaa dinner. It's the. I don't know what it is. It's very good. You'll see. Oh, it's the slope. Choose two served over basmati rice or five grain rice peel off. Chicken with a red curry sauce, spicy Durban chicken, shrimp with green curry sauce, spicy Durban shrimp, beef short ribs, or coconut curry lamb.
Yeah,
and don't be afraid. I know a lot of people hear curry and they're like, that's it.
Love curry. So
Leanne,
9:30 at night. Rock. Now we're all starving. Thanks.
Also, just remember about Sanaa.
It's okay. It's only 6:30. It's still dinner time on the West Coast here, so you know it's okay.
Okay, that works for you, but I just had dessert, so.
Hmm. Well, at least wipe the drool off your chin before you talk to the next person on the phone, please.
But I love it. Chef Bob, who works there, he's such a nice guy. So
he's great.
Oh, cool.
I'm jealous that you're going over there.
And Sanaa has that new. Sanaa has the new eating with a animal specialist thing that you can
Is that worth extra money for that one?
It's not a whole lot of extra money. It's actually not very expensive because they're just trying it out. It's during a test phase right now. So that's an interesting thing to check out. But also, just a quick FYI, Sanaa is best during the day. I don't know if you're going for lunch or dinner, but
Doing dinner because my mother-in-law was going to stay with her boys, and then we were going to go on a date, just the two of us, to celebrate.
Go early in the evening if you can, because you can't see the animals at night. Because it's dark outside and it's late in the restaurant, so you can't really see the animals very well. So if you can go during daylight, it's a much better experience.
Oh, what do you call daylight? Like what time?
When are you going?
I think we were looking about 7 o'clock. I think that's when I made my ADR.
Time of year?
Oh, it's in about 5 weeks. So I'm like,
okay. So it'll still be light, right, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, if you got there before 6, I think you'd be able to see everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a great restaurant. I think it's a great choice. And of course, for all our weirdos out there, there's a vegetarian menu and a vegan menu. Two separate menus.
Matt.
So.
Okay. Let's be clear. Matt said
that was Matt.
That was Matt that said that. Okay. Let's just be very clear.
I say hunting on the Savannah for dinner.
Somebody
hate mail. Yeah. All hate mail to Matt, please.
That's right.
I guess Emily's not coming on again, huh?
I don't want Emily to come after me for that.
Love it. Well, thank you so much
for the Maddie cakes.
It's been great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they vegan Maddie cakes?
Not anymore.
407-278-5939. Let's quickly move on to the next call. Hi, who are we speaking with? Hello, caller.
It was someone who was vegan, and now they don't want to talk to you.
Now they hung up.
Click.
503 area code. Go. Last chance. Going once.
Last dance.
They're scared of you.
And gone. Let's move on to line. Let's go to line 2. Hi, who are we speaking with? Last dance.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, excellent. My name is Eric. I'm from Philadelphia.
Hey, Eric.
What's up?
I was wondering, since we've been talking about Food Festival, whether or not the 3D experience is worth it. And if the 3D VIP is even more worth it, or is it just ridiculous amounts of money for 15 minutes more?
Well, the 3D, which is the Disney Dessert Discoveries, it's basically a giant dessert party that they hold in the World Showplace, and then they take you over to watch Illuminations, is not actually that expensive. It's around, I'm not sure if it's $50 this year, maybe $55 this year, which in Food and Wine Festival language is cheap. So it's not too expensive. I've heard a lot of positive reviews about it from last year. A lot of people really, really liked it. I don't hear a lot of folks saying not worth the money at all. I hear a lot of folks saying definitely do it. So I would say, I haven't been personally, but I would say people like it, probably worth the money. The Sweet Seats VIP experience is brand new this year, so nobody's experienced it yet, so I haven't heard any positive or negative. I think that takes the price up to
$80.
Okay, and I honestly don't know. I know you get reserved seating at the World Showplace. You probably get extra wine, maybe. You know, I'm not sure exactly what else you get with that extra money. It really depends on what happens this year to figure out if it's worth it. Some people, it's based on the VIP over at Party for the Senses, which if you really like alcohol and you really want a table, your own reserved table, people say it's worth it. So.
Well, is there no tables when you do the when you just do the regular one, or
there are tables, but there aren't enough to go around usually.
Oh.
So you're either sharing. They're often like small circular cocktail tables or highboys. they're called? Tall boys? High boys? I'm not sure what they're called, but they're the stand-up tables. And usually there's not enough to go around for everybody. So every once in a while I know at Party for the Senses, you know, people will be sitting on the floor with their food, which if you're cool with that, that's fine. But a big benefit for people who do pay for the VIP areas is that they do get a reserved table. They do definitely get a seat. So,
All right. Well, that'd definitely be worth it. All right. Excellent.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Hey, AJ, I think you and I should talk to Becky. I would be a pro at going and like giving opinions on desserts.
I think you would be a pro at that too.
I'm just saying.
That's a great idea. Oh, and just for the previous caller, that also gets you into the event 15 minutes early. So you kind of get to go in first and get your desserts before everybody's picked over them or touched them. So,
and of course, if you've got questions about the dates or information that we're talking about, different events that are going for Food and Wine Festival, really check out AJ's whole Food and Wine Festival section of our website, disneyfoodblog.com. Next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Brian from Mansfield, Massachusetts.
Hey, Brian.
Brian.
Hey, how are you?
Fabulous.
So, Barry from Wisconsin kind of opened the door, and I wanted to follow him into the room about that. Something's on my mind, and since AJ was on the panel tonight, I wanted to get her opinion. My kind of theory on dining is, and I'll preface this by saying I've been spending the last year working on my Mouseketeering PhD and listening to podcasts, and my sampling of Disney cuisine is small. I had a trip in April 2009, trip in November 2010, few restaurants at Epcot, a few quick service restaurants. A lot of the things that I've been listening to on podcasts over the past year have been about, you know, just the value of restaurants. And Barry from Wisconsin was talking about just, you know, Disney outpricing a certain segment. So I was kind of thinking like I don't doubt that the Disney restaurants are decent, and I think you probably pay a premium for them, but for someone like me who lives 30 minutes from Boston and 25 minutes from Providence, Rhode Island, so these are two metropolitan areas that have very good dining, I'm not so sure why I would spend a premium. I mean, it's good that the theme parks have fine dining and good dining, but I'm also one who's going to stay off-site and bring my lunch in, and I might have a meal, but I just don't find the value in it because I can get fine dining where I live. And that got me thinking about like the kind of data that Disney would have for people staying on site. Like my theory here is I'm wondering if people who live in rural areas are more apt to enjoy the dining experience and give dining better reviews because they can't get that same dining where they come from. Any thoughts?
That's a good question. Personally, I've lived in New York City, I've lived in London, I've lived in Geneva, Switzerland. I've had experience with excellent food. I live in Dallas now, which has outstanding food as well. I still really do like the restaurants in Disney World. I think you know just the fact that Victoria and Albert's is there and has a phenomenal record, of being a very, very critically acclaimed restaurant. You know, they do food quite well there. You do pay a premium, though. And, you know, interesting, I was just interviewed on NPR a couple of weeks ago. People wanted to know about dining in theme parks and what's the deal? You know, is it just burgers and fries or is it something more? And one of the questions I was asked was, is it somehow more, quote unquote, magical to eat in a Disney restaurant versus another restaurant? And that's a hard question to answer. But basically what I like to say is, you know, the atmosphere counts a lot. Atmosphere and convenience when you're on a Disney vacation are worth a lot. If you don't want to leave the parks, if you don't want to leave the grounds and spend the money and the time, because time is money at Disney World, as far as I'm concerned, that's your vacation. That's your hard-earned money that you're spending there in terms of the hours that you're there. So if you want to spend the time to leave the property to go get food, that's fine. But it is very convenient to eat on property, and they do have quite good food. There are several very excellent restaurants there. So, It's a very good question, and I think everybody's palate is different. And some people are going to say, you know, I like this particular restaurant in New York City much more than I like any restaurant in Disney. That doesn't necessarily carte blanche say restaurants in New York City are better than restaurants in Disney. It just means you like that particular one, or, you know, or vice versa. So, great question.
Yeah, thanks.
Brian, this is Mike. I think what also happens is that there are certain entrees that are available in certain restaurants in Walt Disney World, and I think that's what brings back certain people to dine in the restaurants. If I have an ADR at a certain restaurant, it's because they have something that no other restaurant has, and I want to go there for that. It could be an appetizer, it could be an entree, it could be a dessert. But I think that that's also something that draws people, not necessarily the restaurant as much as what's there waiting for them as far as a specific entree or an appetizer or a dessert.
So is it an example like that, like perhaps the cheese soup at La Cellier?
Yeah. Or the fish and chips at Rose and Crown, which, you know, people can say, well, you can get fish and chips anywhere. But I don't know. It tastes better at the Rose and Crown. But yeah, exactly that.
Well, that's interesting coming from a New Englander like myself. Like, I mean, I got down to Cape Cod and get fish and chips. So, like, why would I get it at Epcot?
That's a good point.
Too bad Len's not on the call, because I know he does the surveys on his website, and they ask for the town. And it all leaves me just wishing I was like a data miner or, you know, an analyst for Disney to be able to see how people are reviewing, you know, the amount of money and the amount of spend and the amount of ADRs that people have based on where zip code and where they're coming from. And actually with Len's site, to see how people are rating these based on whether they're rural or metropolitan. And rating the overall value of dining and their dining experience.
I would love to see that information.
Yeah.
And that'd be cool.
How come I said the same exact? I said the same exact thing a couple months ago. I got my head cut off.
For what?
You probably said it different, Newell.
But still, it's the same thing. Small world. I know you're in the chat room. I see you there.
No, it's a great question, and I think it's a matter of taste and palate, and I agree with you, Mike, that you know, there are certain dishes, like someone from Canada usually doesn't like the poutine in La Cellier, but, you know, right. someone else might really, really love it. It's just based on taste and what you're used to. Me, I had a hard time with pizza for a long time.
And you're from New York.
Because I'm from the Northeast, you know, and we do pizza real well up there. So, you know, it's just based on, I think it's a good point where you're from really can influence what you like and don't like. Here in Texas, we have great Tex-Mex. It's hard to find good Tex-Mex over in Disney World right now. So
I'm still impressed that AJ was on NPR. Jeez, we joke about what a big celebrity she is, but she actually is a real celebrity.
We're not on there yet. It hasn't aired yet, but I'll let you know when it airs.
She's not a celebrity yet.
What are you doing here?
That's right.
She's a celebrity, but not a big celebrity yet.
Not like the fabulous Annette Owens.
No, that wasn't what I was saying. Oh my gosh!
Ouch!
Oh, we're getting it back now. It's time to leave.
Oh, no, it's now. We got 20 minutes.
7-8-5-9-3-9. Hi, who's our next caller?
Hello.
503 area code.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Going once.
Am I on?
They're so scared you're gonna slam them.
Turn the radio down.
Let's go to our next call. Hi, who's on the line with us?
Hey, guys. It's Scott from North Carolina.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. I've got my 11-year-old daughter, Callie, here. We met you guys in May, and she wanted to call in and say hello.
Go ahead.
So here she is.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Callie. Hey, Callie. How are you?
I remember meeting you at the Backlot Express.
Right.
Yep. Hi. I had a quick question. We are going back in December, and we wanted to know what holiday stuff that we cannot miss.
Wow.
Oh, that's a question
holiday
from Matt.
Stuff not to miss.
Hmm.
It's a question from Matt.
Go ahead, Maddie. Go ahead, Maddie Cakes.
It is.
Well,
Matt, speak up, Matt.
You know, there's so much going on. I mean, obviously, I think Hollywood Studios is the park to go to. The Osborne Lights is my favorite thing about the holidays time in Walt Disney World. I think it really shows off what just – it's my favorite thing to do in the holidays. Just wonderfully put together with the music and the snow falling and the animations and the decorations that they have on there. It's really superb. And, you know, Kayla, you can listen to some of our older shows that we've done. We've had John Phelan, who's the show director for The Osborne Lights On. We've talked about it many times with him. And, I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's my favorite thing to do without a doubt. The Castle Light Ceremony at the Magic Kingdom is a great show as well. If you've never been to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, I would recommend it. If you've been there before, it's okay. But if you've never been, it's definitely worth checking out at least once. I would definitely recommend that. Now, what's your favorite thing to do in the holidays?
Well, you've mentioned quite a few, but don't forget about the storytellers over in the countries, over in Epcot.
Ooh, yeah.
That's a lot of good information. And hey, if you're skipping school and you have to do a report, there you go. There's your educational project there. And Candlelight Processional, as well as the tag. I see I'm just taking over Epcot now. The tag at the end of Illuminations.
And don't forget the Winter of Lights. Oh.
Never mind. No.
Lights of Winter.
No.
Sadness.
No.
Go see the gingerbread houses.
You got to go see the gingerbread house and the chocolate. Where was the chocolate thing last year? I forgot what resort that was.
Chocolate thing was Beach Club? Polynesian?
It was over either. No, it was either Yacht or Beach.
Oh, Yacht Club had the big giant. Yacht Club had the big giant train thing. Yeah, yes. There are lots of great gingerbread house displays and candy displays and stuff at the resort. So go check those out.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
very much.
Take care.
407-278-5939 is our number, and we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with? Hello, 215 area code.
Hi, is this on?
Hello? Yes. Hello, Chicago.
Noel, quit calling in.
It's not me.
Len, is that you?
Hi, who are we speaking with?
Did Len steal somebody's phone and start prank calling us?
What happened?
This is Matt.
What
happened?
Union sent me.
Area code 617, go.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, I got a question. This is more a question, I think, for the FAO, Fabulous Leonard Owen.
FAO.
FAO.
Hey, FAO.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
I'm going on the Disney Fantasy next April, mid-April. And my oldest daughter is 11.
Okay.
And she's got a friend that's going with us, and she's going to be short being 11. They want to go into the tween club, and she's going to be short by like about a month or two. Do they allow the kids? Are they strict about the 11-year-old age?
That's one of those things you're going to have to talk with them about once you get on the ship. Sometimes it depends on how many kids they have going into club, into that area. Sometimes they'll allow them to come to some of the events, but not all of them. But I have seen them before say, well, the tween can go to the younger and not come up. So it really does depend on the staff on board the ship.
Okay, so it will depend on the staff whether or not that they'll allow her to go into the tween club or not.
Right.
And then if not, she'd have to go to the Ocean Air Club?
Yes. So, but you definitely can go down in that situation so the two of them can stay together. But the going up, trying to move up, normally about a month, if they're not completely book solid, they're not going to have a problem with it. But it does depend on who you're talking to.
Okay. All right. And I guess the other question I have is for excursions, can you book them ahead of time, or do you have to wait till you get on board to book like any shore excursion?
No. When you've paid in full, you can go online and you can go to My Disney Cruise and you can start planning your excursions. If it's your first cruise, it's right on your final payment date. If you've cruised before, you get a little bit of head start on everybody else for the dates ahead of time. But you can also, if you go on and pick out what you want to do, and then you get on the ship and you go, you know, can we move it around? Sometimes you can adjust the times and stuff once you get on board the ship.
Does it make a difference if you paid with points instead of with cash? About when you can book the excursion?
No.
Other than the fact that you got a bad deal, no.
All right. No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Problem. And hey, I'm I love the title now. I got a new title.
FAO.
FAO, that's awesome.
FAO.
Regarding the excursions, I'd give you one other advice. Don't just assume that what Disney has is the only thing to do. Do some research. There's a lot of great third-party people that are out there that do excursions, and they'll be a lot cheaper. And depending on the port, it can be a much better deal for you. So you might want to look into that as well. Use sites like TripAdvisor, Cruise Critic, other sites like that that have a lot of wealth of information about excursions, and that might be a good place to go.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, because it looks like there's not a lot of – I was looking at how the itinerary goes, and one of the days I think is Cozumel and Costa Maya. One of them, you're not in port for long. Oh,
let me tell you something. For Costa Maya, you need to go to this beach called Maya Chan. It's awesome. I went there. It was the best excursion I've taken. I don't know how long. And that's an independent thing. Just Google Maya, Maya, M-A-Y-I-C-H-A-N.
Yep.
Love that place. It's an all-inclusive kind of place. It's so nice. It's unbelievable. Really, it's run by Americans. Their expats moved down there, and they have a beautiful resort. There's a webcam. You can check it out. You can see what's going on at the beach. I loved it. I went there last year for my cruise. It's really great. And for Cozumel, I would definitely do stuff on your own. Don't worry. Don't do the excursions that Disney offers. Just book your own stuff. Use TripAdvisor. Buy a book. Both ports are – Cozumel especially, you should feel very safe going around. And Costa Maya, you should probably book something. But do some independent research. Don't discount the stuff that's just, only Disney. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. However, I want to put just a little disclaimer out there. Just because. Sorry, Matt. Just a disclaimer. If you book a cruise, if you book an excursion through the cruise line and they're late returning back to the ship will wait for you. If you book an excursion through an outside source and you're late getting back, the ship will not wait. So it's something you need to know.
Yeah, you need to be a little, proactive for yourself. But yeah, that's absolutely 100% right.
I've only been on one cruise, and that actually happened where there was an excursion that was booked through the cruise, and it was late, and the ship was ready to leave. They were blowing the horn, but they waited for us to get there. They were all yelling for us to come up to the boat.
Yeah, but if they had gone with somebody outside, they won't wait. They'll just go, and then you're on your own, and I hope you got a passport.
Very good. All right, thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
407-278-5939. Also, really, someone mentioned in chat, it's a good idea. DCL blog mentioned it. CruiseCast is a great web podcast about cruising and excursions and stuff like that, so check that out as well. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Jennifer in Nebraska.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Outstanding.
Beautiful. Hey, I just wanted to call really quick. Back a couple months ago, I called and asked AJ, I believe it was, about low-sodium diets at Disney World.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's where we went. And I just kind of wanted to call real quick and let you know kind of an overview of how it went.
Was it awful?
Honestly, some places were absolutely horrific.
Yeah.
I actually had one manager laugh at me.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. I walked up to her and I said, hi, I was given this restaurant as one of the options. What kind of items on the menu would be good for a low-sodium diet? I said, I need to be really careful about what I intake. And I was trying to be very polite with her. And she started laughing at me.
Oh, my
and
gracious.
She said, how am I supposed to know what you eat every day to tell you what might or might not be good for you?
That's when you go, to a manager. I would have so complained about that. I would have went to the next manager up.
I thought about it, but I just kind of, I ordered as carefully as I could. I kind of ended up letting it go because some of the other places were so unbelievably amazing. Narcoosie's was very good. The Wave was excellent. Yachtsman was unbelievable. All three of those places, the chef came out, actually talked to me. We had a very long conversation. Even Coral Reef, all of those places, they changed the menu item so I could eat it.
Excellent.
I've had experiences at restaurants where I've asked to speak to the chef, and sometimes the chef comes out there and he's just going through the paces. Like, okay, what can I get for you? Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Goodbye. And then I've gotten to places. And then I've got other places, like you just mentioned, that they've been great. The chef is like, they make suggestions for me, like, you could do that, but why don't we make this and this and that? That's even something better I haven't even thought about. So you're right. Exactly. It's kind of hit or miss with some of the chefs.
Yeah, but for them to laugh at you.
Yachtsman, I actually had, in that place, though, it was a counter service. And so I kind of let the laughter go. Because I thought, this woman, she obviously has no flipping clue.
Right.
It is a counter service. I'm not actually spending money seriously here
I'll let it go. And I was able to come up with something that wasn't horrible for me.
Yeah.
You know, it just probably wasn't the smartest option I had available to me. But after that, my husband's like, okay, you know what? We're just not going to come back in here and eat at this particular counter service again.
You know, but
and restaurant ran into
where was this again, Jennifer?
That was, this was Animal Kingdom. And, of course, I just lost the name of the place. It's the old Restaurantosaurus.
Oh, Restaurantosaurus.
She actually thought I was very funny. She thought it was hysterical.
But you know what, Jennifer? If that was a regular cast member, I would let that go. But if a manager is laughing at a dietary, I would so complain. I would still write a letter.
Oh, I am here. I actually kind of looked at her and said, are you serious? And she said, well, what am I supposed to do? I said, I need your help in helping me understand what it is on your menu that I can eat, what I can't eat, and what I can maybe make up. And she kind of laughed. She says, I have no idea. And she walked away. And I thought, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, my jaw was on the floor. I was just.
I would still complain. I'd still write a letter. I'd still call or any.
Okay.
You know, if it was a college kid, you let it slide because they're kids. But a manager, no.
Right.
They need to be respectful, especially for dietary concerns. Absolutely, call and complain.
And you know, but that was the worst occasion I had. Most of the counter service were a lot harder to do that with. You know, it's one thing where as we're going through our process, every table service we went to. The food maybe wasn't as good as it could have been, but a lot of those people don't know how to cook without salt.
Yeah, it's so true.
I can't cook without salt? What are you talking about?
Yep, no, it's so true. And they don't get a lot. I imagine low sodium is one of the least common
requests they get. Oh, absolutely. In fact, and a lot of times when I would go to the counter and say, hi, you know, I'm here for my 515, and we went through the whole process of, you know, is this counter, you know, is this a dining plan, is this cash kind of thing? I then said, and I need to speak to a chef or a manager, if possible, about my dining choices tonight. I'm like, you have allergies. And I said, no.
right.
No, this isn't an allergy. And then they really took a step back. And every time I just very clearly said, high blood pressure, I need to be on a low sodium diet. And every single person then, it was a whole different situation.
Okay.
So it really made me start to wonder how many people, you know, if you walk up and said, hi, I need to talk to somebody. And you said, yes, it's allergies. Some people go, oh, yeah, your kid just doesn't want to eat tomatoes, does he? You know, it was that kind of a mentality until I actually said, look, this is high blood pressure. I have a very strict diet. I'm trying to be careful and healthy. Then it was this, oh, well, let's help you. So there is you're starting to get a better mentality about it. The yachtsman, honestly, he completely changed my meal.
Yeah.
I said, this looks really good. And I pointed out the ribeye. And he goes, oh, great. Well, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, I can totally change your side dish if you want. I can change whatever you want. You tell me what you want to eat, and I will make it for you. And that just blew me away. You know, that kind of mentality. But we had a lot of that. The waiter at the Wave, I didn't see a menu. I didn't see a manager or a chef, but there at the Wave, he knew his, I believe it was his partner, was a low-sodium diet person.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, oh, this is what you want to eat. This and this and this and this is great and this is fantastic. You don't want to touch this. When it came, you know, that the dessert menu at the Wave is very strict. You get these three choices.
Okay.
And I said, and he goes, in each one, he says, now this one's not going to be good for you. I said, well, how about, so can you ask the chef, can you add, you know, this one from the creamy, this one from the salt, this, you know, take one from each one of the three sections and put it on a plate for me. And he goes, whoa, I don't know if we can do that. And he comes back and he said, congratulations, you're one of the first people of the night to ask for, to make a special request. We're still early enough in the night. Go for it.
I'm not sure I love that.
I'm not sure either. I thought, so if I come in here at 8:30 at night, the answer's going to be, oh, heck no.
Congratulations. I'm sorry.
I thought that was funny. He's like, well, you know, you're here at 5 o'clock. There's not a whole lot of people here. The chef knows he can make something up later if it's possible. So, yeah, go for it. That was a shock. But I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to appreciate that and say thank you very much.
Yeah.
Services were excellent. And honestly, I ended up sitting one night anyway for about an hour. I ended up sitting in first aid because the heat was so horrible. It was the beginning of June, and the heat down there was so awful, and I just couldn't get my body regulated enough. And I just spent about an hour in first aid, and they were also just, you know, bend over backwards right there helping me, being very helpful. So it was a good experience. you just kind of got to make sure you let everybody know that this is not an allergy. I just don't want to eat my green vegetables tonight.
Right.
I really do have
a situation. Well, thank you so much for calling in. And I would love to talk to you more about this offline, like kind of have an in-depth conversation with you about your experience, because low sodium I know is a really tough one for them to do well. So can you email me and we can really kind of go in depth into your experience? I'd love to hear more about it.
What's your email? What's your email address, AJ, so they can get in touch with you?
AJ@DisneyFoodBlog.com.
Perfect. 407-278-5939. Our next call on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, it's Liz from Chicago.
Hey, Liz. Well, it's like the fourth person from Chicago.
Chicago can get in, but other people are complaining they can't. What's up with that?
I probably called over 100 times, though.
Yeah, it's been busy, but we appreciate it. Thank you for your dedication, Liz. Appreciate it.
I just actually had a question with AJ on and everyone talking food. Just curious what each one of you would say is like that snack when you're in the park, no matter which park it is, what's that snack that you never miss on a trip?
Oh, for me, it's the Rice Krispie treat bar in anywhere. I mean, those little Mickey Mouse-shaped ones that you can get. It's my favorite breakfast, and I rationalize it being breakfast because it's got Rice Krispies in it, even though it's...
That's cereal.
Marshmallow. It's cereal, that's right.
You get some chocolate ears on it and call it dairy?
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Basically. What about everyone else? What do you like?
Yeah, Annette, what's yours?
See, I don't know if this is considered a treat, but most of the time I'm down working, so I don't really get a chance to get into the park and get something till later in the day. I'm saying that so everybody realizes that I'm doing this late in the day. If I'm not in studios to get the carrot cake cookie, I have to go by France and get my favorite little slushie from the Grey Goose counter.
Mm.
Oh, that's good.
No,
those are very tasty.
I'm sorry, I was fighting with somebody in chat.
Leave Janine alone.
Janine!
What's your favorite snack in the parks, Mike? One snack.
Oh, wow. Oh. Ew, I don't know. Turkey leg? I haven't had that in a while, though.
Is that your favorite one if you haven't had it in a while?
Well, you put me on the spot.
What about you, Scopa?
Well, normally I'd say Dole Whip, but it's usually between a Dole Whip and that very, very difficult snack to eat during the hot summer months, the ice cream cookie sandwich.
Mm. Oh, yummy. That's a good one.
Good one, too.
Someone in the kitchen sink.
I like getting the Dole Whips because they're so low-cal and good for me.
yeah,
which is true. It's fruity.
It's fruity.
It's fruitylicious.
Oh, yeah, the cream-filled pretzels are really good, too.
Yum!
Yeah.
So good.
Another caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi there, this is Brenton from Columbus, Ohio.
Hello!
Brenton.
How's everybody doing?
Good, how are you, sir?
So, I'm doing well. So, a couple questions and then one recommendation, actually. So,
hey, go ahead.
As many folks know, on Tom Sawyer Island, if you find the paintbrush, you receive a fast pass for Frontierland. Are there any other hidden delights or little-known secrets like the paintbrush around WDW where people can win fast passes or anything else like that?
Hmm. I'm trying to think. It's a good question. I can't think of anything where you'd get something like that, where you win a prize or like you find something and then are rewarded with something else.
You get stuck on Carousel of Progress for 2 hours, yeah, and then you get let out and given a fast pass. I've won that one.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good one.
Yes, it is. No privacy at all around this place.
Yeah.
Although you're in air conditioning, so that's a positive.
True that.
They used to have at the Tinkerbell store in the Magic Kingdom behind the castle. They used to have a show. Like, think if you're the first person in the store in the morning and asked to see Tinkerbell, you would get something special. That's not really a prize, and I'm not sure if they've discontinued that or not.
They have.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so second question. In the book Hidden Magic of Disney World by Susan Vaness, she notes that when riding Spaceship Earth, as you pass the cave dweller scene, if you take a quick flash photo, and I know no one's supposed to do that, but if you take a photo to the wall directly to your right, you'll have some sort of fun surprise when you see the picture. So any idea what that might be?
No, but I'm going right tomorrow to go check it out. I've never tried. I've never heard of it. Never tried it.
Yeah, obviously, I never try to take pictures on dark rides, but there was an interesting thing in that book. So, all right. So the recommendation here. So similar to your zombie apocalypse episode, I have a sort of multi-part episode idea for you to engage the audience. So, if you take the long-standing NCAA tradition of bracketing 64 teams and ranking them to go to the Final Four, you guys could create maybe a bracket of 64 staunchly supported WDW rides or restaurants or hotels, and then, you know, the 64 rankings could be selected by you or the audience through social media or Facebook. And then through a series of episodes, maybe the attraction matchups could be narrowed through voting rounds on Facebook through February and March, and then the results could be posted online, and then the Final Four would basically be the ultimate Disney day of the best ride, the best restaurant and hotel, blah, blah, blah. So it might be a fun little exercise to engage the online audience.
It's not a bad idea. Thanks very much for the idea.
Neat.
All right, thanks. Oh, by the way, any news on when Disco Betty the Yeti is going to be back in action?
Don't hold your breath.
All right. All right, thanks very much.
407-278-5939. Trying to squeeze in a couple more calls before the end of the show here. We have our next caller in from Connecticut. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey, it's Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer.
I've got a question about getting over to Walt Disney World from the airport.
Go for it.
So there's five of us, and we're renting a car like always, but this year we have a stroller and a ton of luggage. It's not all going to fit in our full-size car. So we'll be fine getting around in Walt Disney World with the car, but it just won't get us all there. So thinking maybe doing Magical Express for part of it, you know, for a couple of us, but then I don't want our luggage to get there really late. I didn't know about taxis, or if you might have any other ideas how we can get all our stuff with us.
So you have the stuff, you're getting it down there, but the rental car that you're getting is too small?
Yeah. And we're getting
full
size. With that?
Okay.
Your best bet is to have a couple of you do Magical Express. Whether you bring your luggage down, bring the stroller, the big items, and let the little items go in the car, bring them with you. Don't let them grab them. Bring them with you. Then you'll have them with you when you get off. If you let Magical Express take that, then it's going to be about 3 hours.
Right.
We have to do that with people that they don't get their luggage tags in time and stuff. They can bring it down with them. They'll put them underneath the bus. So go underneath the bus with you.
So do we get Magical Express reservations then and just don't put the luggage tags on?
Yeah, that would be the best bet.
Yeah,
and just do that and what I'm saying is everybody go get the luggage, but I would say the few of you that are going to take the luggage that are going, you know, Magical Express, have them take the big stuff.
Right. Okay, I didn't know we could grab our own stuff to get on Magical Express.
Yeah.
But you can't. The one thing I will say, just, and it sounds like you knew this, but maybe somebody listening doesn't. You can't send your luggage Magical Express and you go a different way. So the perfect thing, what you're saying is perfect. Have a few people go. You can take stuff down with you. They'll put it underneath the bus, and then everybody else go in the car.
Uh-huh.
People in the car will be waiting on you, but
right. Okay. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.
Helpful. All right.
407-278-5939. What do you think, Mike? One more call?
Sure. We're already 10 minutes in. 10 minutes over.
All right. Last call of the night. Hi. Who's on the line with us?
This is John Maris from Farmington, New York. How you doing?
Hey, John.
Long Island.
No, you thought that last time. It's in upstate.
Oh, upstate.
Where's that?
Finger Lakes region.
What's
on
your mind, John?
I just want to ask a question and kind of generate some discussion. I'm reading the book Creating Magic by Lee Cockrell, and I noticed that Mr. Scopa wrote or posted an article on allears.net concerning the consolidation that went on between parks and resorts. And my question is, do you think that that consolidation has led to the, you know, the merchandise becoming so homogenous? And if so, is there anything that we can do as an online community to get it back? It's something that really I miss with the specific resort merchandise and the park merchandise. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, and I thought Mr. Scopo could have some insight into that or shed some light on the subject.
Well, I think that one thing we need to always realize is that Disney's always trying to make things better, and sometimes they don't realize when things aren't broken that they shouldn't attempt to fix it. I think that whenever you can, whenever you're asked for an opinion in the parks, there are surveys taking on, I think you need to let them know. I think that whenever you get a chance, you need to write a letter. I think that emails don't do it as much as maybe an actual letter that you write and mail. That seems to get more more attention and more response. I don't know where it's all going to lead. I think that it will continue. The bottom line is that they're trying to figure out how to reduce costs without reducing revenue. And it's not all the time that there's going to be a win-win situation. I know that sometimes when I think of things to put together in a blog or whatever, I'm trying to figure out a way that the resort wins out and the guest wins out. And sometimes looking at it from this side of the desk, this side of the counter, sometimes gives them a perspective that they don't get from their side of the counter. It's just, it's a struggle. I think that from, you know, no matter what you see, no matter what they do, they're never going to please everybody, and we're never going to be pleased. But it's important that we give them feedback as much as possible. And it's important that we give them positive feedback, something that says not just we don't like this, but what we would like to see and why we would like to see it. So that's the best thing I can say.
Right. Do you think that that's when that process started?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
Do you think that's when the process started, the homogeneity of the merchandise? Do you think was that when Mr. Cockrell made that move? Or did
I
it begin before that? Am I on the wrong track here?
I think that it's a process that was always there. I think that was a process that was always going on. I think that when Lee had an opportunity to accelerate that process, he took an opportunity to do it. I mean, he's a smart man. He's a
It's a great book. It's a great read. I love the insight. You know, and I don't want to come across as being critical.
Oh no.
I'm more curious, I guess. You know, it hasn't stopped me from going to the parks. It hasn't stopped me from buying merchandise. I miss the old days, I guess, more than anything.
Well, the uniqueness that we like to think that we're going to be experiencing down there. That's why we go down there. How many people have always said, I go there because it's the only place I know that gives me this or gives me that. So when that uniqueness begins to vanish, when the restaurants begin to dumb down their menu so that you can get a pork chop everywhere and their uniqueness begins to disappear, then the guests will begin to disappear. So I think they need to always try to maintain that uniqueness in merchandise and restaurants. And they're trying to also make sure that they continue to make profit. So it's a very tough thing to do when you're in business, to try to stay in business and to also please the customers. So,
sure, it's a balancing act, I'm sure. Has anything ever been changed because of discussion on your podcast and throughout the online community?
Yes.
Has there been anything that you've changed?
The best thing that Len and I were pretty excited about was the changes that have been made to the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. Practically everything mm-hmm. that we had suggested they do. Practically everything that we had complained about and the way to correct it, they've pretty much followed us right down the line. And so that That tells us that they're listening, and we know that they're listening. They read all the blogs. They listen to all the podcasts, and they know that this is a great forum for them to get feedback. And so, you know, once they realize that something that has been said has some merit, once they realize that it's not going to impact cost too much, but in the long run will gain some PR, you know, they're going to do it.
I mean, I think you said it perfectly, Mike. It's they listen when they want to listen. They are classic at that. Like, you know, like the Wine and Dine was a terribly executed event last year. Everybody hated it. So they had to, you know, they made some changes which were definitely needed. I don't think anyone could, even Disney, you know, themselves, all the cast members ever tell you that it was like that. But they do, you know, they listen when it's in their best interest, when the cost, you know, when it's financially viable for them to listen. When people are asking for other things, you know, we had the whole Fantasmic debacle, for, you know, 2 years yeah. plus, and they didn't listen because, you know, someone said, oh, you know what, these guests are saying that we need to have a change. No, they just decided, you know, for whatever. I'm sure the change was unrelated to all that. It's just a byproduct. They happen to appease a lot of us. So I think, and, you know, this is something that's been said before, but I, like I said, I think they listen when they want to listen. Like, they'll cite listening when it's in their interest to listen, and other times they decide not to listen. Selective hearing, as Vegetiff in the chat room says. All right, yep. Thanks very much for the phone call. Good topic, good conversation. And, you know, unfortunately, we already ran over our show for tonight, but we want to thank everybody for this wonderful show. AJ, of course, we want to thank you for the... For joining us on this live show. It's always a pleasure to have you on here. We really appreciate everything that you do and taking your time to be with us. And of course, you run DisneyFoodBlog.com. And you're going to be doing – and can you give our listeners the dates for WW Foodie Fest coming up in October?
Yes, WDW Foodie Fest, our Disney Food Blog fan meetup week, will be happening from October 2nd, that whole week through the 8th. So we've got lots of different things you can – lots of different events you can check out at wdwfoodiefest.com.
Awesome. AJ, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I always look forward to it.
You will now or later?
No, I want to say quickly, I want to say happy birthday to Mindy Marinelli Morgan. And Mr. Voice is also birthday today. I want to say happy birthday to Mr. Voice. And I don't know if you guys know, but there's going to be a new voice in the Voice household this week. So I want to wish Mr. Voice and Jamie all the best and all the good luck for this week. So
good luck, bro.
Good luck, bro.
Good luck.
Awesome. And that's going to do it for us today. I want to remind all of our listeners, in fact, about our sponsor for today's show, which has been AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for everything Walt Disney World. They're celebrating 15 years online. AllEars has everything on Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. AllEars has menus for all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling with special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to AllEars, a free weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 133,000 other subscribers who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today. Thank you very much, AllEars. And I want to thank our esteemed panel for today's show. If you find our older episodes, rare show notes, or send us your comments, you can visit us online at wdwtoday.com. For Len Testa, Mike Scopa, Mike Newell, FAO, and Food Blog. I'm Matt Hochberg. We'll see you on our next live show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.